we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, let's go.
Hey yo, let's go.
Let's Mo.
No.
Do the show.
Oh. Kelly Kelly will blow.
You know why? She's a hoe.
Yo.
Alright, fucking talking wrestling tonight.
We are. And Kelly Kelly. Should we just hit Kelly Kelly up off the top?
Sure.
Or
why
off
not?
The bottom?
She's, well, yeah, I mean, we've hit it.
That's true.
Everyone has.
Officially, Kelly Kelly has been released. Did you hear the reasoning behind this?
Because she wants to do movies?
Well, she wants to do movies. There's also one of the straw that apparently broke the camel's back is that she has some not PG photos.
Yeah, she's Kelly Kelly.
That the company that she's trying to release out on like a calendar or something recently, like now.
Oh, okay.
And
this, the company, this isn't her peeing in the bathtub again.
No, this is I think. But
my mistake.
Yes, the bathtub would be normal.
No, the bathtub, that would be classless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
She was peeing in a sink. Ah, she was drunk.
Her name is Barbie, for fuck's sake.
Yes, it is.
Let's have some class here. But no, she had some photos that she wanted to use, and the office said, well, you know, you got to get us to look at all of these. And she's like, yeah, you're probably not going to want me to use them, but I'm probably going to.
Really?
So that was kind of the
I'm looking
the
forward to seeing them.
Riff. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I haven't officially seen her. I mean, I've seen every naked photo of every diva ever.
I've heard.
Yeah. And she's on my bucket list. Actually, she's on my fuck it list.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyways, that's the story with Kelly Kelly officially with Shaw Guerrero.
But do you think she's taking her clothes off in this calendar because she's a whore?
No. It's hot.
Oh.
That's Sabu.
What's your team name in our fantasy football league again?
Kelly Kelly's a whore.
Oh, my mistake.
Yes.
By the way, have I told you, not everybody in that league is pleased with that name.
Really? Fuck them. Well, you know what the problem with that is, and I should have thought of this off the bat, but ever since the opening season in the standings, you know what I'm doing? It's going down.
You've been going down every week more and more.
More and more.
It really does fit.
And you know what's funny is that Kelly Kelly is a whore. You know who the backup quarterback is for Kelly Kelly's a whore? Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
The Heath
Slater up the head of that.
Oh, that's true.
Fuck. Okay.
Also, what's happened since Kelly Kelly's been released, that the WWE on their website, they have their superstar power rankings.
Yeah.
And so that's been updated, because ever since she's released, Kelly Kelly's gone down. So
I understand she's gone down on the entire roster in that power
ranking. On the poll, yes. She's yeah, under yeah. the entire roster now.
She is under on the poll, because, you know,
she's on
more
the poll.
More poll than a fireman.
Yes.
Yeah, no, yes. It's amazing.
Smoking.
Yeah, more shafts than an elevator, I think.
Well, yeah. Yeah. About as smart as one, too. So anyway, that's the Kelly. Shaw Guerrero, still not released at this point. She's asked for the release. They're negotiating some things.
Yeah, we announced that she was released in the last show, but it hasn't happened.
Well, she
wants
has,
to go back
yeah.
to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wants to go to college.
Yeah, so.
Get your education before going into wrestling. That's what I always say. Otherwise, he could turn out like Kelly Kelly.
That's true. Or Alex Riley.
Yes.
The varsity villain.
You know the thing about Kelly Kelly? She wants to go into her movie career because a lot of these people, they get, like, options for movies. And they think, you know, it's like they can leave. And then they finally have a good movie career. Like, for instance, there's that great movie career, that guy who left to do movies, John Morrison. And that's been working out so well.
Yes. Or the stellar movie career of Steve Austin.
Like, he's been in movies.
Or the stellar movie career of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, really, other than The Rock, nobody's been in any movie.
Well, Batista's been in some.
Well, no, they've been in movies, but none that anybody's really
seen.
Nobody's
been a star.
Nobody.
But not even like a Morrison. I don't think he's even gotten like roles, right?
No.
And he left hoping to go do movies, you know, and that's.
He's still working on that, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he, what he's going to do is he's actually going to go into a movie about Kurt Angle's first MMA fight.
Oh. That'll be good.
That'll be good. That's gonna. He's
you
waiting
know,
for that.
You know what? I actually saw a movie this weekend. And it was in 3D, which was awesome, because I decided to wear the glasses when I went to the bathroom.
Okay.
Looked bigger.
Really?
I was happy.
2 inches?
Yeah. Well, huh. I'm not that big.
Oh.
It was finally in 3D.
They're not miracle workers.
It was finally in 3D. I thought, fucking right.
Fuck,
I'm wearing these everywhere.
Yes.
If I could only put them on every woman I slept with.
Both?
All right.
We're talking about
two pairs. Fucking loser. All right.
Speaking of me sleeping with your mom, JBL climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Much like my mom, much like you when you're done sleeping with my mom, he planted a WWE flag at the top.
Yes. And he said he did it for the children.
Off the fucking rails.
Yes.
All right.
And after I'm done with, much like after I'm done with your mom, JBL expected to be on Raw.
Oh, really?
Next week, yes. He's supposed to return to the commentary booth.
And much like
week.
After you're done with my mom, JBL had to go down afterwards.
Yes, he had to go
so
back
you
down.
Were,
yes.
You had to go down.
Yes.
And you weren't really done with my mom, is what you're saying.
No, but you know, it's much like JBL.
You need to get off too, buddy.
That's true. Much like JBL climbing Mount Kilimanjaro after I'm done with your mom, I also had chirpies.
All right. So anyways.
So JBL expected to be back on the three-man commentary booth team with JR.
That's good. You know what? The good thing about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro is it kept him too busy from looking up facts that are bullshit.
That's true. That's true. But he will have more. But at least he's entertaining.
No, he is entertaining.
Yeah, that was JR Appreciation Night on Raw.
Yeah.
It was really more the post-Raw that saw, like, Danny Hodge and Bill Watts coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
To do appreciation. But, I mean, I just really noticed it more. And, again, it's horrible that he had a heart attack. But, I mean, we were talking about how, you know, we needed to get rid of Jerry Lawler on the commentary booth for 2012.
He's been stale for a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, watching the Sheamus-Damian Sandow match on Raw is when it really came to me, like, just fuck how good JR is.
Well, yeah, he's excellent. But the thing about that is he's excellent with Cole. He is better with Raw than he is with Lawler than he is with Cole.
But I mean, it's JR could be with Vince McMahon on there at doing that, what he did, and
he could
be
by
great.
Himself.
Yeah,
he could do, you know, he'd be better by himself than Joey Styles ever was.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, that's what it hit me because I mean, when he was talking about that Sandow and Sheamus match, when he's talking about how great Sandow is and really putting over the guy, you know, himself is how he could hang. I wasn't a Sandow fan.
And then Sheamus
beat
him and his tag team partner, who are gonna be challenging for the titles by himself.
Yes. That's right. Well,
all that hard work on commentary, everything in the match,
doesn't
matter because at the end of the day, both he and Cody eat a boot at the same time, and it becomes obvious, both together, even together, they couldn't beat this fucking guy. That's your fucking next tag team champion challenger.
I do think it elevated Sandow's credibility, though, that match overall. And yeah, he didn't have to win. He didn't need to win.
It was counterproductive. The ending was counterproductive. The ending was short-sighted.
I didn't really pay it much mention, to be honest, or much notice in terms of, yeah, okay, they both ate a boot, whatever. I mean, it just... The only thing I thought was retarded about it was the
champion beat both men at once. If you're in the tag team division, you're as good as one contender for the world title.
Sure, if you want. I mean, I didn't really think of it that much because I mean, that's overanalyzing it, you know, in terms of...
That's the way I felt about it at the end. I was like, fuck you.
What I felt about at the end was, I mean, he lays them both out with a boot, and the referee doesn't seem to have a problem with this, and Sheamus just goes and covers Sandow with Rhodes, like, lying right beside him.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. I was like, well, what the... All right, whatever.
The replacement ref, right? I mean, those replacement refs needed a new job.
I guess, yeah. So, but, I think that's, you know, like I said, I could see your point about being counterproductive. I just didn't. I don't pay
I didn't
no
like
mind,
that.
Right?
Up until then, it was good.
Yeah.
So what else we got here from Raw?
I want to talk a little bit about SmackDown a little bit before I preface this Raw, because you didn't see SmackDown this week, but the Ryback Tensai match on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was a super awesome great match,
mm-hmm.
but Ryback got Tensai up
mm-hmm.
for his march around move finisher mm-hmm. there. Which,
by the way, I got to remember how I said we have emails about finishers. Well,
finisher
point. I'll give you some of the emails I got on different names.
The names, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did the finisher to him to Tensai on Friday on SmackDown. And the crowd just, and rightfully so, the crowd just popped like a mother. Like, Ryback was, I was thinking that I know that the Feed Me More chants are piped in and things like that. But, and the funny thing was when I watched NXT, the Feed Me More chants, because Ryback was on NXT beating a jobber, and the Feed Me More chants that were, Feed Me More, were done to sound the same like a 20,000-seat arena inside a Full Sail University.
Were they?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's
fucking
awesome.
It was hilarious. I'm like, oh, yeah, this now it's so obvious this is piped in now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, you could tell, kind of, but it was always like, well, but you never knew how many, right?
Yeah.
But
now
you're in Full Sail University in front of 200 people, and you get, Feed Me.
Meanwhile, they would always complain how Goldberg chants were typed in, how it wasn't real. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
it's a work, folks.
Well, but, I mean, the reason they were complaining was because their product was actually over at the time, so they could complain about it.
That's true.
I mean, when they did,
after he left, and they would, he wasn't as over here because we didn't pipe the chant in.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Which is hilarious because they did.
Yeah, I know. That's the. But. But he got him up. On Raw, he didn't.
Yeah.
And he tried a few times and didn't. And, I mean, the crowd wasn't.
So he said
stupid.
Idiot.
You're
stupid.
Idiot, yeah.
Something like, I remember it was stupid. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, but he was
stupid.
Basically, and I couldn't tell if it was. But he hit a clothesline. The crowd popped. Crowd was into him this night, but that's not because he's any good. That's because CM Punk has made him look like somebody he's afraid of. And people are like, well, here's this guy who's great, who's been the champion this long, who's a heel, and he's running away from him. All of a sudden people are going to go, oh, fuck, that's what the heel doesn't want to see? Then that's what we want to see, and that's why they're into him.
That's
it
part
has
of
nothing
it.
To do with anything
that's
else.
Part of it. Well, no, it has something to do with, again, Ryback's beating guys. He's undefeated. He is starting to get over. He didn't have said the power move on SmackDown's one thing. He's done a couple other impressive power strength.
Name one.
The crowd is starting to, I mean, well, when he put the three jobbers up on him, on himself, and did the fucking, stomp around thing, that was impressive. I mean, he's deadlifted guys. I think it was Jack Swagger, where he just fucking picked Jack Swagger up and did it. I mean, that's impressive stuff. And again, it's, the fact that he's undefeated, and as I said, I mean, you can see, I watch the crowd, because, I mean, you can't listen for the chants because it's piped in, but you see more and more, and you see some Feed Me More signs that they're starting to find.
Yeah, that's
people are doing
CM Punk.
People are doing
CM
the
Punk
no,
has
but
put him over. CM Punk has
that's
made him
part
a
of it, but I'm not saying that, I'm not willing to say that that's the only part of it.
Ryback
it
has changed in the last two shows by probably 100% the reaction he's getting, more positive, more real, and that's since he started.
Oh, yeah, for that, I agree with that, but you go flashback 2 weeks, he's getting more 2 weeks ago than he was at Raw 1000. Than he was at Raw 1000.
Yeah, okay, but it's not nearly whatever. Like, I don't like the guy. I think he sucks.
Yeah.
So,
I just think, I mean, again, if you're going to do it, you're doing it, and it's, I mean, he come in and he saved JR, or helped JR, said, come with me, and I mean, so he's aligned with JR. I mean, yeah, you can think he sucks. It's the same way you thought Diesel sucks, but, I mean, if you're going to go with a guy, go with the guy. That's my point, right? I mean, I don't know.
He can go on to become the lowest drawing champion of all time?
2.5.
All right, let me give you some of these names here.
Yes, okay, yeah.
All right,
so
this is a few.
We asked last week for names for Ryback Acne's finisher.
Yeah, and preferably we were trying to come up with names off of the something to do with Feed Me More, something to do with eating.
Yes.
They were talking about that. So I got this one, the Smorgasbord. I think that's kind of shitty.
The Smorgasbord?
The Smorgasbord.
Borg as in like Borg, like Star Trek?
No, that's not the way he spelled it, but
okay.
That would work better. The Smorgasbord.
I was doing the Terminator thing, right? So I was doing
the
board.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that works. The McGangbang, which of course is the off menu item you can get, which is like four patties and a you know, like Big Mac or whatever. It's apparently called the McGangbang. So somebody said suggested the McGangbang. I don't think they're going to go with that.
Was that not Randy Savage's finisher?
The McGangbang?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No. It was Heath Slater's.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I like the final course. I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
Somebody said, just call it the Samoan drop, but if you're not going to, call it the Samoan slop.
Slop. Okay.
Okay.
What about the Samoan slop drop?
That's not bad. I don't mind that. Samoan slop drop. And then this is the one I like the most. This one was from a guy named Boldgird.
Really?
Yeah, Boldgird.
Boldgird.
He suggested they call his finisher the spear. And, of course, that doesn't have anything to do with eating, but it's probably accurate.
Yes. He's from Indiana.
Adam Lee, did you email us as Boldgird?
Adam Lee.
Oh, not Adam Lee.
Jeremy.
Same
Adam Lee. Lee.
You know what? Are we sure? Are we 100% sure those are the same guys?
Jeff Harvey?
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, all right. Let's move on to, what are you saying, 2.5?
That was
unless
the
there's
rating.
Something else on the show you want to talk about.
Let me look.
On Raw or SmackDown?
Well, SmackDown, yeah, there's a couple things on SmackDown. The last thing on Raw, again, what I get into, the problem I have, again, with the overall booking of Raw, and it goes back to, I mean, you talk about the Sheamus being the new Hunter and the bro kick and shit, right? But, again, when we're talking, like, with CM Punk, when he's arguing with Jerry Lawler, Jerry Lawler just says, I don't want to call you the best in the world just because I don't want to.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. And then and Punk's going, I've been a champion for 316 days. I mean, at least when JR, who once again, 2 weeks in a row, a fucking Attitude Era guy, is cutting the best promo on television,
yeah.
Is JR cutting it on Punk, saying,
yeah.
You want me to call you the best in the world, you line up, you fight John Cena, and you beat John Cena in Hell in a Cell, I'll be the first guy in line to call you the best in the world. Fine, right? That, and that was great, that promo. And the fact that JR stood his ground but didn't, you know, get up in his face like he was going to kick Punk's ass,
yeah.
Was cowardness a little bit, knowing full well that he's not going to beat him.
Yeah.
But he's going to, you know, by God, stand up for himself, right?
Yeah,
and that was great. But the fact, again, was when he went in and he did that, and again, Punk, you know, giving some good points, again.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to show in Sheamus. And all fucking show is saying is, I'm 7'4", 500 pounds. Stop fucking joking around and take me seriously, or I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And knock you out, you motherfuck.
Yeah.
And they, but that just reminds me of the, oh, you got B.O. there, laddie. Oh, fuck. Like,
yeah,
and then here you go with the stupid potty humor.
They're
Sheamus.
Trying too hard with Sheamus.
Well,
they're trying too hard.
It's
they're,
what I talk
like
about.
Like they talk about with Cena, they try too hard. Right?
Well, it's exactly like Cena.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I mean, the best part about that was when the podium fell or collapsed. And
I
have a weight problem.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
That was funny. But you know what? No, it's true. It's true. Big Show came across more likable than Sheamus there.
Yes, and that was
so,
my point, is that
yeah.
The heel, again, is someone that I'm rooting for.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But I'd like to go back to SmackDown.
Is it also going to be a Hell in a Cell? How many Hell in a Cell
I think those
matches?
Are the two Hell in a Cells and the two
Hell
title
Cell.
Matches,
okay.
Yeah, as far as
right.
I know.
I don't know, because I won't be watching it, because it's on my birthday.
That's true.
So I have plans.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Uh-huh.
Real.
Yes.
Huh.
Really?
You've inflated her?
I started now. I get out of breath, and I should be done by that time.
That's
you
true.
Know why? I have a weight problem.
That's true. Hopefully the chair doesn't collapse. SmackDown. I watched SmackDown.
I'm sorry.
The Divas of Doom.
Uh-huh.
Beth Phoenix and Natty.
Yes, they had a match and they cried after, I heard.
They had a match. It was fucking awesome.
Of course it was.
And we talked about how way back, you know, a year ago.
We wanted that at WrestleMania.
Yeah, a year ago was when they were the Divas of Doom, or a year and a bit ago.
All Hail the Divas of Destruction
yeah,
was your blog.
Well, and it was like they can run through and then eventually turn on each other and have that match. And this match that they had, SmackDown was in Buffalo, which is where Beth Phoenix was from, or is still from.
Yeah.
And she's got the tights, the Glamazon thing with the Buffalo Sabres looking thing on her tights now.
Okay.
She had it on Raw, too, so that's why I thought
the
it might have been...
Buffalo Sabres, not the Bills?
Not the Bills, it's the Sabres. It's around, it's the blue and the yellow or whatever, like where they have
Okay, the old
except
one.
For instead of the, it's got the Sabre cross and instead of the Buffalo there, it's the Beth Phoenix symbol, whatever
that
is.
Yeah, I guess.
But anyway, exchanging holds.
Yes.
Like, and it was like an Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith match. Like, where they're, you know, duck under, go behind, flip over, you know, nip up, the
it
whole
was a
nine
wrestling match.
It was a chain wrestling match, and it just get, and they were kicking out of finishers.
And the fucking crowd loved it.
Oh, yeah, the crowd loved it. Probably more because it was in Buffalo and they were into Beth, but I mean, the crowd, they got the crowd into it. Natty kicked out of the glam slam. You know, she got a sharpshooter. The Beth got the rope. It was a great match. And we'll probably never see it again, but I just wanted to point that out because that is...
This actually brings up something that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I think it's time to officially retire the Divas belt and end the division and have, not the saying you don't have women on the show, you have some, for instance, AJ on.
Yeah,
you
shouldn't. No.
You shouldn't, but you do have AJ on. I mean, obviously, Vicky for now. If there's going to be a role for women, that's fine. You can even have the occasional match or feud if there's two people that seem like they have an issue.
Like Trish and Stephanie did.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Or you know what? Or you can have somebody be like Oksana was. You know, somebody come to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you get women off the show completely.
Yeah.
But I think it's time to retire with Beth gone, with Kelly gone, with the
Bella's
gone, with...
Maxine left.
It's just, there's no, that title means nothing.
No.
It's not going to mean anything anymore. When Caitlyn is your third highest pushed diva in the company, you're in a shitload of trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, who are the women in the company? I mean, you've got Caitlyn, you've got Eve, you've got Layla, Natty, because Beth is leaving, and then that's about it. There's that Paige girl down in NXT that's probably ready to come up, but I mean, nobody knows.
That comes out with the colognes with her.
Rosa Mendez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can't wrestle, and you don't want her wrestling.
No.
She's bad enough that legitimately every time she wrestles, there's a chance she's going to cause a career-ending injury to her opponent by accident. And that's not even an exaggeration. She's literally that bad.
And she can't take a punch.
So I just think it's time to retire that belt and just let that division go away for a while.
Yeah.
And if at some point in time things fall into place and you can build it back up and it's right, then open it back up.
Well,
now I just think it's time. It's much like they just did with the Cruiserweight. They're just gone one day.
Well, I was going to say, you have to get Hornswoggle win the women's title then.
And you know what? That would be hard.
Mm-hmm. He would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that...
Well, if he was wrestling Layla, I'm sure he would be.
Mm-hmm. I would be.
Me too.
But, well, I mean...
Semi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, Layla wrestling. Well, you're right about him.
With 3D glasses,
when you talk
though.
About Layla and you know, Natty and Eve, I mean, you know, you can see them wrestle, but I'd rather see their box.
Mm-hmm. So. And how many times can you see them wrestle before you want to see their box?
Well, that's just it.
Or them box.
Them box?
I'm sorry.
Them box?
Yeah. Oh, them box.
Them box.
But yeah, that's something, that's something I wanted to bring up with.
No, I think that's it is. Because, I mean, when you look at the whole reason that the Divas title or the women's title came back, and it was because of Sable, right? And it was because Sable was your, legitimately, your second most popular guy
behind
Steve Austin at that point. And like, ratings draw, merchandise, you know, like, just in terms of that. So that was the reason, really, to do that.
But you'll remember
before, you had Wendi Richter.
Yeah.
You know.
And you had years without it. And there was a point after Sable and everything was gone where they had retired the belt. I think it was like 6 months or a year before they had a six-woman diva match where Trish won it again, which was a surprise. Because at the time, Trish wasn't seen as a wrestler. She got
That's
in there. But, and she had been really a valet in the storyline with Stephanie.
TNA.
But this is where she had really... Yeah, exactly. But this is Tess and Albert.
Yeah.
So this is where she legitimately had improved to the point that they said behind the stage, she's good enough that she can have a run with that belt and it can seem legitimate. They brought her back in. They brought in, what's her name?
Jacqueline?
Not Jacqueline. They did. I think Jacqueline was still there, but they brought
Jazz.
Jazz. And try and legitimize the belt and legitimize the division again.
Yeah.
It was time.
And Lita was there. And I mean,
yeah, so they had they got rid of the
Molly Belmont. Holly.
It was like 6 months or a year.
Well, you know what it was? It wasn't that they really didn't get rid of it. It was in China, right?
That's true.
It was there, and China was the champion. China beat Ivory, I think, with the right to censor Ivory. To get in that story had to be told the way that the storyline went. But China got it and then thought she was too good for it and really turned did the heel turn thing and bullied Lita around. But then her contract was up or they weren't going to renew it or they just kept her off TV
was
until her from like May until I think her contract was up in November. And then once it was officially over, I think that's when
they weren't in a hurry to bring it back.
No, they weren't. And they shouldn't have been
for a long
point.
Time.
No.
But when they brought it back, that belt was pretty good again. I mean, it was because we talk about Molly Holly and Trish and Lita,
Jacqueline,
what's her name, Tara, showed up around that time.
Tara? Victoria.
Victoria, showed up pretty soon after
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, for a while there, the women's title had never been a big draw, but it wasn't a complete joke like it is right now.
No, and even later you morphed over and you had Mickie James come in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you had workers, but you just don't have them right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Natty is the best you got. And then Beth Phoenix, of course, leaving. So
yeah, and Layla's your next best worker. That's saying something. She's not terrible. She's not good.
No, and then think of, I mean, what was she, the 2006 Divas champion or something, right? So, I mean, and then you got Eve, right, who's a good athlete.
But not really a very good
wrestler. But not as good a wrestler, no.
No.
So, speaking of things, though, I mean, we talk about, now we've got a tag team tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, you know, how they kind of got rid of, they should get rid of the women's division, and they did for a while. And similar things happen to tag team wrestling, that there's ebbs and flows over the years. And
mm-hmm.
we're starting to get into a more bullish approach here that tag
team... They have to keep it up for a while, though.
They do. I mean, I'm just saying it's the start of things, right? So, I mean, who knows? But what I was impressed with was on SmackDown, I guess they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it on Raw here, too. But the first time I saw it on SmackDown was with this tag team tournament that Booker T's on. There's brackets.
Mm-hmm.
And the German guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Brakus.
Brakus.
Manama Brakus.
Yeah.
But
I love WWE. That was him, right?
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. Pretty close, yeah. So, but they and really when I saw them, the only makeshift tag team
mm-hmm.
is Ryder and Santino.
Yeah.
And everybody else is an actual
team
including the Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought they had some interesting booking moves in that Kofi and longtime champions Kofi and
Truth
eliminated in the first round by Trump Primetime Players,
yes.
which I liked.
Yes, I did too.
I was like, that's good. That's good.
Well, and that's good for a couple reasons, is that it's time for a little bit of a change, and the Primetime Players lost to Kofi and Truth in countless tag team title matches.
Yeah.
So now they're getting They're getting a win back. And, you know, you talk about the 50-50 booking, but this is where getting a win back makes sense.
It does.
You know.
And it doesn't mean that the Primetime or that Kofi and Truth couldn't be pushed up if they needed to be back into a title match.
Well, exactly, right?
Oh.
So, and you're going to have, I mean, what I presume the tournament is going to go with the Rhodes Scholars beating Sin Cara and Rey because the Primetime Players are going to cost Sin Cara and Rey the match, leading to a Hell in the Cell, not in the Hell in the Cell, but
yeah,
at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and then you could actually have two tag team matches,
well,
two separate tag team matches
yes.
in the same pay-per-view. Holy fuck. Has
well,
that ever happened?
I don't know that they would.
It hasn't happened in the modern era.
No, and I don't know if maybe one of them is going to be a YouTube, right?
Yeah.
The but I don't know.
But either way, that's
but you know what? Now that I say that, I don't know that you put Rey Mysterio on YouTube. You
no,
know what
exactly,
I mean? So
exactly.
that's...
not only that, but you know what? I'm just immediately going, all these tag teams, they could really do something in Survivor Series with this now.
Yeah.
To get it
that's
over.
That's right.
And that's interesting.
That actually is, because you could have almost a... I mean, we got nine teams.
We haven't seen that for a long time. We haven't seen the 4-on-4, 4 teams, 8 men in each corner.
Well, we've got 9 teams, because this is an 8-man tournament, and you've got, and quite frankly, Santino and Ryder should be a team together, and you bring up the Ascension, and you got 5-on-5.
Exactly.
So,
so either 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 tag teams. I mean, that was some of my favorite Survivor Series
matches,
was watching those in the early days.
And the big question then can be, who's Fuji leaving with?
An obscure reference for you old corp.
Yeah.
Old man.
The devious
one.
Who is going to be under the tutelage of the devious one, Mr. Fuji? But the other part I want to talk about impressive, but just to quickly hit, I don't know if it was on Raw or SmackDown. Was Brodus and Antonio on Raw?
That was Raw, yeah.
Yeah. Holy fuck. a neutralizer on Brodus Clay
because
he held him up there and looked over and looked, and then, oh, man, that was
and
the crowd.
Brodus did his part too.
Oh, of course. No, it just, but it looked impressive.
It looked great.
The crowd got into it. I think Antonio
Cesaro. Again, I love that this guy's billed at like 238 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
Bret Hart was billed at 234.
234,
so much
yeah.
bigger. Right?
I know. But, which is hilarious because, yeah, you're going the other way, right?
Yeah, exactly. He said they should bill him at like 277.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no.
I mean, I always liked him. I always saw him as upper mid-carder. Like I say, the only problem, I mean, I see Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, as being even more talented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying how talented he is, not saying how talented Antonio
how
Cesaro is.
How untalented Cesaro is,
yeah.
No, that's right. And I just think that that's, no, I like that. Again, I just, I like kind of, and that's where we are right now. We talk about 2.5 Raw rating,
and
lowest in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And non-holiday, whatever.
Exactly, and that's 2 weeks in a row that it's been bad and gotten even worse.
Been that way, and we're looking at kind of no end in sight for that kind of thing, right? But, well, I mean, football season will end over.
Well, yeah, which will get them up to about a 2.8.
Yeah, well, that's just it, right?
You know, and...
right now, their big pops are going to be at 3.0.
Yeah.
Like Rock comes back 3-0 kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Rock comes back. I could see him getting up to like a 3-2 for Rock coming back and then a 2-9 for a second.
I don't know. I did.
Maybe not. You know, you're right. It might be back. Even
so.
If they went to two hours, they'd be averaging about a 3.0 maybe, if that.
Well,
know,
I believe it was, what,
still?
3.5 million viewers is what it was. And when you think of Raw 1001, when they first went, they got, I think it was 4.5, and then they got 6.6 million viewers. And so, like, that's what, I mean, and that was, what, 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the end of July, so you figure, you know, you had all of August and all of September here, and they've almost cut the audience in half.
You know, it's funny, because it's not like television, people are saying, in general, people are watching like television. Movies, it's about the same.
Well, give me...
It has been movie-going. Video games is about the same.
Yeah.
You know, other sporting events are about the same or down a little bit, like a UFC or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You
UFC is quite a bit down.
UFC is quite a bit. So I mean, it's not like it's not like I'm sitting here going immediately. I can say this is where they've gone or this is why they've left. But
yeah, well, that's the other point on that when you say less on television and stuff. But in the United States, it's just a thing that 52,000 people last month.
Mm-hmm.
52,000 less people last month had television or satellite. Like, they got rid of cable and their satellite. Yeah, 52,000 last month. So they're down from just over 100 million Americans that had access to cable to, I think it's like 98.7 or something. I saw a million. So just as we talk about things like, you know, we had the argument in terms of who's watching on where.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we don't, we have the argument, I say, but we don't actually really disagree. We just have the semantics as to how to make the money off it.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But, I mean, the thing
more people are watching online through other mediums.
Online and other mediums, and as I said, I'm just interested in how to harness that into something profitable. But the thing is, and this is where I get into all roads and all focus and all conference calls and the investors is leading to this WWE Network.
Yeah.
Right? And here we are again with 52,000 less people have television.
Yeah.
And that's going that way. So they're hitting a spot, like, it's really like, you know, they can join JBL on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro because there's nowhere to go but down.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're like, it's like buying a stock at its all-time high, right?
How do you get people to watch the program? I mean, watch the program. On smartphones, because more people have smartphones and less people have television.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, that type of thing?
Well,
more
the thing is...
More people have pads, more computer.
They've
people are, like I say, just different things to access.
They can't yet, though, because of the software technology that they've gotten. It's part of the product right now, because they said they tried to get one of those apps, like smartphone apps, and they tried to get it out there to do, right? And they tried to launch it, but they brought it to Apple, and they said the people with the iPhones or whatever to get these smartphone apps, and they said, well, it won't work. It's not compatible because your booking isn't smart.
Yeah.
So it's not allowed.
Smartphone. No.
This is a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually trained not to play your
shit.
That
brings me up to an email I got.
Yes.
From a guy called Rex Cryan.
Rex Cryan.
Rex Cryan.
Wow. Does he like feet?
Well, Male defeat.
I was thinking Rex Ryan.
Defeat, so that was her her finisher, right?
I was thinking...
So Rex Ryan, you wanted to talk about, because we talk about how
wrestling.
To... that too.
Right.
But we talk about how to revamp Raw and the Freaks TV,
yes.
The blog, and the different things and different ways we go. But he asked about the booking committee, how many people are on the committee,
yeah.
And how do you do the writers, and what do you do with that if you go to this more sports-based format? So I want to talk a little bit about the booking committee because it's pretty obvious that it is failing.
Yes.
And we're getting a 2.5 or 2.7 or whatever. I mean, the thing is that and this brings me up to something that is another email actually I got too related to this. But let's just talk about the booking committee.
Yeah, well, you sent me an email or you sent me a text about this email that you got and you said, you know, we got an email so we want to talk about the you know, the changes to the writing process. And I wrote you back and said, you mean which 75 writers to fire?
Yeah, and I think it is actually about 20.
Yeah.
Is about what they got on there.
Well, I mean, and you look back even as low, I think it was 2002, maybe 2003, and this story has been told. But, I mean, when the company brought Vince Russo back for that cup of coffee, right, and Vince Russo was used to, I mean, you can say what you will about Vince Russo, but he's told the story. And, I mean, Vince Russo, it was, you know, Russo and Ferrara,
mm-hmm.
right, and Vince
yeah.
at the table. And before Ferrara come in, it was, you know, Pritchard and Cornette and Russo and Vince sitting at the
Dylan
table.
Or
Dylan and Patterson. But the point
yeah.
is that there might be, you know, four or five people sitting at, you know, Vince's kitchen table, and then they take it away, and it's 2-3 to go and take and do the booking. But now, and he said, you know, when he walked in to that room, he said, you know, and there was 20 people staring back at him, his jaw just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Vince, you know, why would you fix when he'd broken?
Yeah.
Like, this was something that he could understand it wasn't working.
Stephanie had to put her mark
yeah,
on
well
the company.
That's, yeah.
And that's what it was.
Stephanie
needed
yeah.
to put her mark on the company.
Well, it's funny how you say Stephanie and Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, I mean, the reality of it is this obviously isn't working. There's too many, and you hear about all these former writers that talk about just that, even the idea that, you know, they have an idea that it goes to a person that goes to a person that goes to a person. That we talked about the showrunner even, remember
yeah, exactly.
that, you know.
We talk about, you listen to these writers, and they'll say things like, I worked for them for a year. Well, how many of your ideas, what was your best idea that got in the air? You go, well, I only actually had 3 ideas that got on the air in a year.
Oh, not
you
even,
know?
Though. They'll
you
be
know?
Like, I didn't even have an idea that got on the air. My job was to write promos for Zack Ryder.
Exactly.
Right? Or Santino, or
yeah.
whoever, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and 20 people just causes a continuity nightmare. Like, we look at all
well,
the
and
things,
that continuity is so important.
Damn right it is. It fucking is, though, is the thing. Is there is just too many times where people, we're seeing guys wrestle each other, where it's obvious they aren't remembering the finishes, where it's obvious that they aren't remembering what
yeah.
they booked or how they got out of something or they just dropped something. And all this different shit, and that has to be with too many cooks in the kitchen again.
It does.
So
it really does.
How would you, what would you ideally do? How would you go about it? Because I have how I would go about it.
Well, again, I know how I would go about it. I mean, are we talking perfect world, or are we talking about, does it have to be?
Let's do
okay. Well, in a perfect world, if I could just, if I had a draft and if I could pick anybody I want in the world to be writing the television and politics aside and whether this person would accept and da 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 da, right?
Yeah.
I would have two teams of two.
Okay.
I would have, and again, I'm a big
fan. That's
actually
fan. Very similar to what I have.
I'm a fan of the brand extension.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan of, I was a fan of separate pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what ended up happening, I mean, when they contracted and now they're further contracting, that's a reaction. That's not a forward-thinking move. They're not doing it, you know, we're so hot right now, we better do this to keep up the momentum. It's like, we don't have enough people, so we don't have enough stars, so now we need the stars from both shows on both shows.
Yeah.
Right, to try to make it seem. And that's, again, we're further sinking.
And you know what? And for a little while it worked. And guess what? Long term?
Well, no, of course. It was the same way with the pay-per-views. Is they went to separate branded pay-per-views, and it worked for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, SmackDown had a depth problem, so we had to bring a Raw match on, and then all of a sudden it just became, right? So
yeah.
I do that and go back, because we talk about slowing pace down as well, and this will help to do that if they're all both on the Big Four, and then they each have, you know, three others, let's say, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There are four other pay-per-views, let's say, right? So then there's eight pay-per-views in total that you're responsible for, and you're only responsible really for half of the big fours ones, mm-hmm. right? But I put, and again, if I can perfect world this, SmackDown is run by, SmackDown, actually I'll go Raw.
Okay.
Actually, no, I think SmackDown would be better for this. SmackDown would run by Jim Cornette and Michael Hayes.
Okay.
Or Gabe Sapolsky. But I'll put Michael Hayes in there just because he's already employed.
Sure.
And you know, and Raw is run by Paul Heyman and Gabe Sapolsky.
Okay.
And the reason that I do that, and you know what, and without Gabe Sapolsky, if he couldn't, or, you know, I could put Gabe over and do, I am not opposed to having Paul Heyman and Vince Russo work together on this, on Raw, if Vince McMahon is going to be involved. But the thing is that the reason I do that is I put Heyman on one side and Cornette on the other.
Mm-hmm.
They hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to cause internal competition, which is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want Raw competing with SmackDown.
Yeah.
I own it, but I want them competing against each other. The same way, you know, Raw and Nitro kind of thing, right? That's what I want, is real animosity that I'm going to beat the pants off these guys
mm-hmm.
and do that. Because realistically, from the Sci-Fi Network and the USA Network, similar number of homes. I mean, one's got a Monday time slot, one's got a Friday time slot, so it's a little bit different. But
yeah, and one is simply a more popular network, regardless of
the... Well, of course, yes. But, I mean, and the rating numbers might be different, but, I mean, again, if 2 million people are watching SmackDown right now, or 1.8 million people are watching SmackDown right now, I mean, 3.5 million are watching Raw, that ain't that big of a difference. I mean, sure, it's double, but, you know... It's different, and they've got enough where they can have different programs, and that's why I said I put Heyman, and that's the only reason I talk about maybe Russo is because you can do that live shocky jock stuff on Raw, and you can have, you know, a Sapolsky, a Cornette, and a Hayes doing the wrestling show on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
which it's been, you know, historically been known as the wrestling show,
mm-hmm.
And so that, but that's how I do that, is have them there. In reality, again, if I'm dealing with just people that are on the roster right now,
mm-hmm.
I still have, I know, my dog is shedding like a motherfucker. I still have Hayes on SmackDown.
Okay.
And I have Heyman doing Raw. You know, I guess you've got to have, you know, Brian Gewirtz there. Right? I mean, if we're talking realistic, right?
Yeah.
Brian Gewirtz is going to be there. But if Gewirtz works with Heyman, I just think, I don't want to say Heyman's going to shut him up, but Heyman's going to filter out all the stuff and let, I mean, Gewirtz can write some comedy at times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let him do that, and Heyman can focus on the main angle so that the main angle isn't comedy,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's what I'd see. I'm not quite sure who I would put with,
obviously Hayes and SmackDown or somebody.
Hayes,
right?
But and somebody, and I don't quite know who that somebody is yet. But you know, it could be one of the guys, you know, like Ranjan Singh or you know, or
it could be
like
somebody
that.
Who's a current wrestler who's
yeah.
got a really good booking mind and not. It could be The Miz. I mean, after all, he's a great commentator. So they're using him again,
yes.
fucking Friday.
Because
he can't fucking come up with better than Miz.
No, he did
SmackDown.
The. No, it's not SmackDown. It's the.
I thought it was SmackDown.
No, it was the main
right?
event. Michael Cole and Miz do the main event on Ion, yes.
Obviously, you could just use JR and Hayes.
Fuck, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Book it. Literally.
Yeah, I mean, I have a similar idea to you if I was going to handle it. I mean, I don't have specific names like that.
Yeah.
But I would have the two shows again. I don't like the brand extension idea. I just think that as a general rule,
mm-hmm.
you have guys who wrestle. I wouldn't go so obvious. I wouldn't say there's a brand extension except for pay-per-views and competition.
I see what you mean.
But I would say that generally these guys wrestle here, generally these guys wrestle here. And they cross over when it means or when it makes sense. But as
right.
a general rule, these are you guys to work with. These are you guys to work with. I would also have two teams of two,
mm-hmm.
but I would have one head guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Al Snow?
one booker in charge, and it would be bookers. And they talk about how you need to write...
He's the general manager now.
Exactly. They talk about how you need to write the show, and that's one of the reasons Stephanie said you need to write the show so people hit their cues and so we're getting in and out on time and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because I used to watch Nitro when they didn't have any writers, and they were always hitting their cues, getting in and out on time. There's not really any difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Is basically what I'm saying. But that excuse aside,
maybe
you don't
put,
need the writers. You need a booking committee. You need the bullet points. You need the guys to learn to be personalities and charismatic by themselves. Because that's one of the problems they have. The wrestlers have no reason to learn to be charismatic because they're told what to do.
But if you don't care about cues and hitting your points, then maybe you put Michael Hayes with Billy Kidman because he'll be out of a job.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But anyways, so I would have one guy who's in charge, then I have two guys writing or booking Raw, two guys booking SmackDown. I'd have them come together. I have them work from Wednesday through, or no, sorry. I have them on Fridays and Thursdays and Fridays off. So they work from Saturday. Right. They work Saturday to Wednesday. And Thursday, Fridays, I am off. And those are the days that they work. That way they're there Monday. And they get time off.
Well, yeah,
they don't get burned out. They aren't expected to work 80 to 100 hours a week.
I agree with you to a point, but I would rotate that because you wouldn't give, like, Thursday and Friday. Well, I guess if they're working Monday, Tuesday is what
you mean.
Yeah,
they're working Monday, Tuesdays, and Sundays, right? So, like,
it's
an extra day afterwards on Wednesday. You do stuff. Saturdays, you get together. Wednesdays, you have a meeting, all five people together. Saturdays, you have a meeting at the beginning of the week.
I might have to rotate that and give the Raw guys Tuesday, Wednesday off. And then
maybe.
I
think that's one of the real issues they have, though, is that they overwork those guys. And they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be creative when you're exhausted mentally.
But I would think just further to your point, is that if you have those 2 days off, let's say a Raw guy gets Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, they meet together.
Yeah.
Right? Friday, they meet with Vince.
Yeah.
Right? And then Saturday they have to finalize everything, right? And because
like
if there's a Sunday, then there's a pay-per-view. So then
something
you know
like that.
So,
but
yeah.
The point being, though, that you have one guy who meets with the two of them. They make the plan for the week, then the guys go off and write their show.
Yeah.
The guy who is in charge, he also takes care of the main event show. So he books that. These guys don't book anymore. So he books the main event show. He books Superstars.
We talk about booking. I mean, again, when it comes to Saturday Morning Slam and even this main event show,
yeah.
I mean, there's really no booking involved.
Well, exactly. That's why you have the one guy who's actually in charge. Book Superstars, book main event, book Saturday Morning Slam. Then you have the two committees booking your two main shows,
mm-hmm.
and then he oversees them and works with them and has a communication with them all the time to make sure that there is a conformity, but that it's not too fucking messy, and it makes sense. And that's how I think you have to have the booking committee, because you don't need more than two people.
I'll do you one better.
You don't need more than two people to book and put on a wrestling show that's 2 hours long. It's been like that since the fucking 50s.
I'll give you one better. I'll give the Saturday Morning Slam and the main event show. Sure, you got to throw a match on each matches, three total, three matches maybe on each for that hour and a half between those two shows. But then I just give it to Bucky Beaver. Because the rest is video package.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And the thing is, they do want, they are trying to make sure that main event is actually on Ion is a successful show, because they really, their reputation, they can't have another cancellation.
No, that's the thing. They don't want to be known as the one that gets canceled, because, I mean, Superstars, NXT, whatever the other, the ECW, right?
ECW,
was all. Well, ECW, NXT was kind of morphed together, but, yeah.
So it was two cancellations. It really was.
Two cancellations in reality, two time slots that are no longer there. But, I mean, the other thing we just mentioned that the main event show, the very first main event show just happened, yesterday as we do this. What it did was it highlighted last year, like the match they showed wasn't even a fresh new match.
Yeah.
It was the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know.
That they did.
Fucking idiots. They put Punk versus Sheamus on after they agreed that that shouldn't happen unless it was a main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, this should not be a main event unless it's at WrestleMania, champion versus champion.
They did it.
I agree with you. They point that out to everybody, and then on IR. That's, you know what? Honestly, though, if you think about it a little bit, Sheamus missed the bro kick shoulder into the turnbuckle, and Punk rolled him up and pinned him.
Yeah. Okay.
So Sheamus went over, or Punk went over relatively clean, basically.
So,
but
yeah,
the thing
so
was
Sheamus
here,
finally got
I can actually give you the devil's advocate because I'm just thinking of inversion. As if you say, though, this match is a WrestleMania main event, this
yeah.
should be, and you say, you know, I agree, and all of a sudden it's like, here on the brand new show, the main event, and Sheamus and wow, they said that should be
but,
WrestleMania.
You know,
now
really,
I'm going to get this?
They really right. promoted the hell out of it on Raw and SmackDown, too, right?
They did, actually. On Raw, there was like 8 commercials for it. I watched, I don't know how, maybe not in Canada here, I actually watched a feed at 6 on
the
laptop.
I don't know, I watched the YouTube show. That's
yeah,
I watched
the feed on laptop, and I saw like 8 commercials or for it, or heard. I was playing Xbox.
Was the commercials from what you saw, was the commercials for Punk versus Sheamus?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Punk versus Sheamus.
Because I was skipping through all that.
No, it was, they definitely... Punk versus Sheamus on Io.
Okay.
So
the other thing that I got, the other email that I got, and I don't know have who wrote this to us, but it's Gully Clark. Gully Clark wrote me an email saying that I've been watching Raw and I've been really, really bored. We said when Raw was going to 3 hours it would be good because it would be more long matches. I'm getting more long matches like the Sheamus versus Sandow.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that instead of more mom matches, that's making me more bored instead of less bored? Why is this a negative instead of a positive? So that's the question to you. What do you think? Because it's true that we were looking, we're like, well, the good thing is we're going to get longer matches, more matches.
I know.
And we are. We're getting fucking tag team matches that are longer. We're getting, you know.
Yeah. No, all the matches.
All the
longer.
Matches, I mean, you're getting like the Orton versus Ziggler and all this, all these longer matches.
Kofi Ziggler.
There
was that tag match, remember, that went through like 3 commercial breaks.
And we're like, this should be good. So why is it this isn't good for us or the... Like, in general.
For Gully there.
Gulby.
You see, part of it is that, is your individual taste as well. So I can't, you know, why am I more bored by these matches? Well, I mean, I don't know specifically.
But I think in general,
like,
though, it's obvious.
I think so, too. But, I mean, part of it is that, I think part of it is people, and the ratings patterns are the same. Is that at that 10-15 hour, right? Is when, or that basically 2 hours and 15 minutes in the show is when people are tuning out. And it's that, and again, that's how long Raw used to be.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's about how much
they are finding the show early. That is
yeah,
oh,
that's a fine.
It's not the problem that they're showing up at 7 and staying till 9, but they're finding it now at the 6 o'clock time slot. And
they're not going any longer than 2 hours because since 1997,
yeah.
Raw has been 2 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty much how much... And, I mean, Vince
McMahon... pay-per-views are 3 hours.
No.
Fucking football games go 3.5 hours. Baseball
yeah.
games go 3 hours. I don't think it's the people's attention span. I don't think that's it. But the wrestling is not making for... Longer matches should have been a positive. I'm not sitting there watching these, even though I'm having more longer matches. Why is it not entertaining me more
than it is?
A couple
things. Again, longer...
And Gulby is, you know, obviously another one.
A couple things is that... I think with the matches as well, there's two things. We've been conditioned to shorter matches on TV. That's part of it. We're conditioned for matches to be shorter. That was a part of the Attitude Era, and that was just generally a part of the Monday Night Wars, is that matches went shorter and hit different segments. But now there's not that worry. The other thing is that mostly because of that, and it's something that's been a fault of their house shows, is that their house shows followed largely the same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you didn't have is what we talked about months and months ago now, maybe a fucking year ago, was that they didn't keep the Chavos and they didn't keep the Val Venuses and they didn't put the William Regals on the road to wrestle these guys, the Rybacks and the Alex Rileys and the Zack Ryders and the Dolph Zigglers and all these guys, the new guys, to have them work longer matches. Why are we bored? Because they're not good at it.
I don't think the matches have been bad, but I do think that there is a sameness to it. Because they work every worth of style, this good match follows the exact same formula as this good match.
Yeah.
Because
they're not out
offense.
On the road
but
listening
just,
to the crowd and figuring that works.
Not even
let's
so
use
much
it next
that.
Time.
They're not varying. There's not people with varying styles. I mean, Rey Mysterio has a slightly different style than everybody else, but not many people have different eyes.
As does Kofi.
Okay, Kofi has athletic moves. His style isn't different. His style is still perfectly the WWE style.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? It's still,
I'm okay with the style being the WWE
style. The psychology
style.
Behind all the matches is the same.
Some of the moves are different. But what I think is that how these guys got differences. Okay, how each match seemed different, even though all within the WWE quote unquote style.
Yeah.
Is that how they got different back in the day? Is that they went out and they tried stuff on the house shows and they heard what worked.
Well, I mean, they tried stuff in territories, right?
Well, not even the territories. But on the WWE,
nobody was different looks, nobody was different psychology, nobody was different. They need, it'd be nice. I look at what do they need right now. They don't have that badass. I mean, the closest would be Orton.
Ryback. I mean,
no, he's not. He's not. But you know what? That guy who, and I, you know, is that...
The Steve Austin type guy.
I wasn't even going to say Steve Austin. I was going to say the Johnny Valentine, as Terry Funk would say. That guy that people believe, that guy's a legit badass tough guy. He can go... I mean, Brock Lesnar counts because people think he can go into the UFC, but he doesn't count because he's not around all the time.
Because he's not around.
There's not a few of those guys that you go, I don't want to fuck with that guy in a bar. Dolph Ziggler, you're not thinking, I don't want to fuck with that guy in a bar, or Kofi Kingston. They're missing that, for sure. And they're missing, they don't have a hardcore wrestler, they don't have a hardcore, they need that. There's like, everybody's the same again. There's no fucking, this is a fat guy, this guy might be a power guy, but who cares? He's still wrestling.
Are you looking for a job?
No.
Oh.
But, I mean,
I know what you mean,
even in the Attitude Era, you was like, this guy is a hardcore wrestler, his style is different than this guy.
Well, that
and they don't have that again. The other thing, okay, go ahead.
Well, that was part of the thing we're talking about. That was part of the thing when he originally came onto the scene that we liked about Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Is that this guy looks different. Husky Harris.
Yeah.
You know, we thought, okay, there's Bray Wyatt. Is that that's what this guy, that's what we liked about him, is that they looked different.
That's part of it. Now they also need people to wrestle a different style. This guy's a brawler. This guy's a wrestler. This guy's a hardcore guy. This guy's a high flyer. There's a couple high flyers, but they don't really have that different feel. And part of it is because even though you're a high flyer, you're not supposed to high fly all the time. You're supposed to set up your spots so people know to react to your spots as the WWE style, and then you hit your move when people are expecting it. And, you know, it's all very, very controlled, and
that's just it. I mean, Kofi Kingston is controlled frenzy.
Yes.
But that's what it is. Well, I mean, that's part of it.
Fucking crazy.
When we talk about it, though, and that's really what it boils down to is kind of similar to what we talked about with the writers. It's all that same, you know, ultimately the same point, but everything is over-scripted and over-scripted. And my point in terms of guys used to go and try shit at house shows, see what works, see what didn't work, then they put that eventually on television. Well, now it's you do this, 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 and this. This is what you're here, you're headed a script, but this is what you do, then this is what you do, then this is what you do, then this is what you do.
And the finishes are generally very, very uninspired.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that's a big deal why wrestling matches aren't making for a better show is because we've been conditioned for so long to think wrestling matches don't matter. Okay, this guy's going to win, and you know what? Next week the other guy will get his win back.
And that's part of why, again, I really liked Jim Ross putting over Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
Because I knew Damian Sandow wasn't going to win.
No.
But I came out of that liking Damian Sandow more as a performer because of Jim Ross.
Because of Jim Ross. But the announcers don't make the matches matter. The belts don't matter. So how could this guy winning a match matter if it's going to lead to a belt that he's either going to get or he's not going to get? And if he doesn't get it now, he'll get it later. So because we've been conditioned that matches don't matter and belts don't matter, when you're watching a wrestling match, you're sitting there going, why the fuck do I care? And it's subconscious, I think, to some degree. And I think that's the other thing why this is actually hurting them. Now, we were looking forward to the longer matches, and it's funny how it's backfired. Because we didn't see this coming on our end.
No. What it's basically become is more filler.
Yeah.
Is what it is, basically. Yeah. They just do more moves.
Yeah.
That's basically all it is. Is they do 30 moves instead of 15.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the plan. Now, we are supposed to have, if we can get a hold of them, Big Dave, as we've been advertising for a little while now, the Big Dave Bautista, ahead of his MMA fight, it's looking on.
Weekend.
So we're going to see if we can get him on, but we're actually going to take a little break. We have a slightly different format. We're going to be pausing the show. We're going to go watch Impact and eat.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back, tell you about what we watched on Impact. And I have two more email questions if we have time.
Yeah, we
got
a couple more emails. Good. We got
so,
that.
So we're about an hour in. We're going to watch Impact, eat, see if we can get a hold of Big Dave, have him come on for a quick little interview. I know he's done a lot of them, so we appreciate his
time. Trying to get Daivari on as well.
Yeah, we're trying to get Daivari on.
He's been in the news with some heroics here. I know he's been doing some radio.
We have some plans, so we're going to, you guys, it'll be seamless for you guys. But for us, we're going to just take a little pause. And we will be back in a little bit.
Yes. All right. So here we go. We're going to do that pause. We'll be back in a minute. Well, for you guys, will be like you said, seamless. And I'm just gonna hopefully, yes. Okay. All right, we just watched Impact. Mo, what'd you think?
And that's what I thought about Impact Wrestling.
Yes.
Awful.
Do you have another topic? Oh.
We will go a little more into this, but holy fuck, what happened to Impact? Like, what happened to TNA here? Like, this is unbelievable.
It was really the the more and more that I kind of go back and having the hindsight, as we do, it seemed to be the Bound for Glory series.
Well, but even before that, it was good.
Well, it was starting
to get
good.
It had a fresh look and fresh camera work and just...
A lot of the things ended, though. I mean, you had the rise of the World Tag Team Champions of the World, which is great.
Yeah.
You had the Joseph Park Bully Ray angle, which was great.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. And then you had a fresh new, you know, with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries doing that because James Storm had failed and gone home. And that was clicking. Austin Aries was really clicking at that point. And then you brought in the Bound for Glory series, so all those matches seemingly had a point.
Yeah.
You brought in the new Gut Check deal.
Which was good for a little while. It was running, of course.
It was just different. And then you had the championship, that backstage thing, which they haven't really... I mean, they did it last week for that TV title, but they haven't really consistently, you know... done that a
but
lot.
Even like the backstage segments that they had in this one were worse than the backstage segments we were seeing before. The interviews were worse. Everything feels more scripted.
It
everything
seems
just
more
feels
scripted.
Just really, it doesn't feel fresh, and the booking's not good, and the matches don't seem to matter. And
no.
I think it's everything. Like
okay. I am.
Here was the best two things on the show. There was a triple threat match in the main event between Bully Ray. Bully Ray, Austin Aries, and Jeff Hardy, which we suggested should be, we thought a couple weeks ago, would be the Bound for Glory main event. And instead they did it on Impact with about 5 minutes to announce it.
Yeah, about 5 minutes to have a match.
Yeah, well, actually it's probably
like
a little 8 longer
minutes.
Than that. Yeah, probably. It was decent. But, you know, your number one contender, your World Tag Team Champion, essentially miscommunication, or your World Tag Champion and your number one contender, miscommunication, and the guy who's not in the match pinned them both, so we now know when we're watching that match at the Bound for Glory,
they're not as good.
We're watching the world championship being settled between two people who are definitely not the best in the company. It's like he's now going to be with Sting taking on Aces and Eights,
right? Yeah.
Even though it's pretty fucking obvious that he's in charge of it, and so we know where it's going. And you know what? That takes away a little bit of the interest because it's too easy to guess. And here's the other thing. That's going to be the main event, I believe, because they've clearly stated that this match is more important than the world match by having a guy in it pin the number one contender in World Tag or World Champion.
Well, like even tonight, I mean, with it being the main event, and when you were saying that, I'm going, well, I don't know. But then even tonight, now I get the impression, because the main event of tonight's show was the choice of Bully Ray... the choice of Mr. Anderson,
who then got beat down, who became Bully
beat
Ray.
Down backstage. So it was Bully Ray who conveniently came running down to the ring to say, you know, pick me. And then again,
because he doesn't want to be in the world title match after beating the guys in it. He wants to be in this Aces and Eights more than anything.
The thing
is, he wants to beat those guys up because they've done nothing to him, really.
The thing is, right now, it's what they cost him the world title.
Oh, my mistake.
That's his thing.
But he just beat the guys who were in the world title match.
Demand
a match? I don't know.
The thing that makes it more think when I sit there and I go talk about hindsight and thinking, you know, maybe this is going to be the main event, this Aces and Eights thing, is because of who it involves.
Sting, Hogan.
Brother.
Oh, they open up the show with Sting, Hogan going, I wish it could be me there with the brother instead of one of these other guys like they demanded. And Sting going, I wish it could be you there too. Because, you know, Hulk Hogan at 67,000 years old, and with no knees, really wants to get the shit kicked out of him. And Sting wants a guy who can't fight to back him up. It's just a stupid...
Well, but
like,
that
but
part
is... No, I have a problem with this. It's time for you to say, you know what? I can't do what I once was. I am not who I once was. But I can still run this company. I still know wrestling. And I still give a shit about Impact. And I'm going to make sure the best guys are in there. And you don't have to act like you're still fucking king of the mountain and king shit. Because the truth is, we all know you're not. And he knows.
No,
because
we know Jeff Jarrett's the king of the mountain, right? He always won those matches.
King shit.
Yeah.
He
won those matches. But the thing is, what further to that point is that was something that we had praised Hulk Hogan for doing very well over the summer, was talking about how Austin Aries is the greatest wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
Because he's the world champion and is a guy that, you know, is ready to take the company to new heights and is the greatest. And that was something that's like, normally Hogan would never admit that. You know, he's going to be 18 till he dies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's kind of going back to that. And I don't know what that influences. I don't know if that's possibly, we talk about him being probably in charge of the Aces and Eights. I mean, Bully Ray joining him, but then Eric Bischoff being in charge. How much more, maybe, is Eric Bischoff, did he go film a Charles in Charge reality show over the summer?
I don't know.
And he's the one that went away, and now he's back with his influence? Like,
We're talking about good continuity, though, and how like two people could help it. So I understand it's only a couple people in charge there. And yet the continuity, here you have Mr. Anderson. Now, the gimmick is that they've either locked out or locked in Aces and Eights. And then they say that in Mr. Anderson, they've locked up the building. They never said that they're stopping doing that.
Right.
So Mr. Anderson wrestles his match, and then afterwards he's getting beat up in the parking lot by Aces and Eights, making you wonder, how the fuck did he get outside? How the fuck did they get outside? How'd they get inside? Are they locking out the building?
Were they in the parking lot, or were they in the back?
They said parking lot.
Okay. Nice.
And looking at it, it looked like a parking lot.
Well, it could have been
again, it's the continuity. It's the little things that that they were hitting, that they're not hitting anymore.
No, and as I said, I mean,
I'm trying to think of, I'm sure there's a wrestler who eventually said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to step back. But I'm saying Hogan needs to do because it looks ridiculous. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
What, someone that stood back and stayed on television and said, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, I can't be the guy fighting that I used to be. But I can still, you know, there's got to be somebody.
But I could still be around?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I could see guys that just walk away and don't come back.
Yeah.
You know, like, there aren't really guys that don't
walk. Well, Shawn Michaels to some degree, right?
Well, in terms of he hasn't had a match, but...
But he has also said he's not, you know...
Well, he said he's never going to have a match again.
No, but
he's
basically said he's not what he once was.
But how many guys did he come in and super kick? You mean Del Rio last year?
There's got to be somebody who's admitted they're just too old to fight that fight anymore. Like Hogan needs.
Well, I mean, he had a stroke riding his bike, right? So that's Bret Hart come back and then you know isn't going to fight.
Yeah.
But it's you know
to have though been somebody who put that next generation over, said that, and did something. There has to be.
Well, there's plenty of guys that'll put the next generation or just
but said, yeah, I can't. I'm not what I once was. I can't get in that ring and fight you like I used to. But I know who can. Like I'm saying, Hogan needs to say.
Oh,
otherwise, he makes other guys seem like they're like, well, hey, it could be me, and I'd be better than them.
Actually,
but I'm not.
Eventually, what he did do, and this guy probably legitimately tough as nails could beat up, but Harley was Vader's manager, right? In WCW, and stood aside to do that, and that's probably the closest thing that I can think of in terms of, you know, but he was never pushed around to the point where it was like, you know what, I can't fight you anymore, but I'm going to get this guy who can.
Yeah.
Right? It was just a matter of, even Stu stepped in as a tag match with the Stomper and Brett, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so,
I don't know, it just doesn't happen. I just hate that when Hogan acts like all these guys, you know what, I can't fight you because of the stipulation. But I would be better because, you know, I'm tougher than all you guys. And it's like, no, dude, you're in your late.
Well, I don't know that
don't act like a tough guy
anymore. The thing was,
you're not. You were never actually a tough guy.
I never got the impression that he said he was a tough guy. It was just that he wants to battle these guys because of what he's done to him and his family. He wants to personally get the revenge. And I understand that, but those are the rules that he's pointed out. So I don't think he's coming out and saying that.
I feel like he's like...
Well, yeah, but
he's never come out and said that,
you know, when I'm tougher than all the guys in the roster, it should be me, but it can't be. That's how it feels like to me,
and like I say, it just feels to me like same thing. Just it's time to just say, you know what, the reason I'm not going is because I can't go like I once did.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that. It's okay.
Well, I can think of, I mean...
But he thinks he's going to have one more match still, doesn't
he?
To this day, he fucking thinks he's going to have one or two more matches.
Because he probably will. Yeah. But we talked about Stu, you know, even stepping in. But we talk about Harley as the guy that did it. Another guy that finally, you know, stood up and said that was it was Owen.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Yeah.
So there you go. See? But, I mean, putting in terms of putting over the next level in the ring, there really, I mean, even Andre, you know, had some guys that he would have fight for him.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, Andre did that at the very, very end.
Yeah.
But,
J.J. Dillon.
He became a manager, sure.
Yeah.
But he was never a, you know, he was a prelim wrestler, essentially.
That's true.
So, but no, that's, I mean.
Anyways, you also had, another good thing was the Chavo and Angle match, which wasn't special, but,
mm-hmm.
but it was decent.
The one thing I did like in terms of angle-wise was, just to bring it back to the forefront for him, was when, Bruce Pritchard was talking to D'Lo Brown, you know, on his iPad and saying, like, who is that? That's Matt Morgan. You know, when is Matt Morgan? How did Matt Morgan get in? You know, you
he's super kicking at a house call referee. And
yeah, and then again, a little bit of an outsider deal, right? Because
I said he's the outsider.
Yeah, and so that's fine. I mean, that's a new that's not a new angle in wrestling, but it's a new start for a TNA. It's a new TNA angle that they're starting, which I don't hate. So that's good.
I suppose that was art. You had Joey Ryan and Al Snow, and that was awful.
Oh, that was awful.
You had King Mo. Fucking just...
Oh.
What do you have to say about this King Mo debacle?
Well, with King Mo, when the first thing happened was, you know, Long Necks and Rednecks, so then James Storm comes out, and he's talking about Hulk Hogan and all his wisdom, and TNA has gone out and got this, you know, this... Supposedly this MMA tough guy, this King Mo, to come and be our thing. And I looked right at you and went, Tyson and Austin.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well, Ken Shamrock and Owen or Brett and Austin, right?
Right, but I thought of it more of the if they were going to have the beer swilling redneck against the MMA, you know, the in ring guys. So that was what that's the comparison I was drawing. But then basically what happened was Bobby Roode
came out. Which was still Austin and Shamrock and.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
But anyways, whatever. The difference is Shamrock never came out in full-blown ridiculous gimmick, and neither did Tyson, like King Mo does.
Well, Tyson didn't have a ridiculous gimmick thing.
No, he's the fucking baddest man on the planet.
He just wore black trunks and black gloves.
So he was the world's most dangerous man.
How can he draw money?
Exactly. He's the world's most...
Black boots?
Black trunks. Yeah, the world... I get it. The world's most dangerous man...
So how could he draw money?
The baddest man on the planet.
The baddest man on the planet, not the world's
most dangerous. And world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. Both are basically the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Basically, this, on the other hand, was some
well-rent
wannabe wrestler MMA guy?
Closer to Ken Shamrock, I mean, really. Because, I mean, the difference when Mike Tyson was the baddest man on the planet, people believed that he was the baddest man on the planet. When Ken Shamrock was the world's most dangerous man, it was... ABC Television on 2020 called him the world's most dangerous man. I mean, people kind of knew that he was this MMA guy, but I mean, he didn't have the aura of Mike Tyson
But people, there was enough there that people went, this guy's legitimately real dangerous.
Yes.
Whereas
King
Mo came out and did not look like, he wasn't as big as the guys. And he just looked like he had this fucking robe on, this fucking... stupid-ass fucking crown.
Well, the crown's fine. I mean, you've seen the crown before.
Not.
Well, no, I mean, it's not fine, but it's fine enough for what he is, King Mo. And that's his gimmick. But the fact that he came out in the robe, and he basically came out...
You called it low-rent.
Yeah, it's what it looked like, was low-rent.
The whole angle just looked low-rent and bad acting, asking him to do something where he got into it with Roode, and then Rude's trying to sell it. He's afraid for a moment.
That was the low-rent part.
That was the low-rent
because
part.
Because Mo just...
Especially since
there.
We know the plan is that he is the special referee, turns on Storm, and sides with Roode, and goes heel.
Almost as a bodyguard type deal, which is actually a perfect role for him.
Yeah,
because
that way
learn.
He doesn't have to wrestle much.
Yeah, and that's fine. But
awful.
What I mean, I know they're in Florida for Impact. What I didn't know is that Mark Merrill had a garage sale so that King Mo could buy his gear.
Yeah,
because that was marvelous Mark Merrill, and that's why it was low rent.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I mean, at the end, it's like he punches Roode or shoves Roode. Roode falls down. He backs away. Mo just stands there like a fucking mannequin.
Yeah.
And then he walks to the ring. stairs, you know, they have a little stare down that lasts about 1.2 seconds.
Yeah.
And so to build no tension, no what are they going to do next.
And Storm raises his hand.
Stare, hand raise, hands him a beer, and then they try to do the spray the beer, but Mo just ends up basically throwing the beer at people, flicking the beer. And it's just that, again, it's just the whole thing start to finish was
the shits.
Pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, it's, I mean, they're going into this quote unquote
Bound
biggest pay per view. I mean, the only thing you can say that Bound for Glory is different than their last two pay per views is we went through and we know about six or seven matches.
Yeah.
For the show, 2 weeks out. That's different.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, Samoa Joe versus Magnus for the television title.
Yes.
You got the Storm Rude.
Storm Rude. The women's match.
Women's match, the Aces and Eights, the tag match.
The world title match.
Yeah.
And then, what else are we missing there?
I think we're not missing anything. I think that's all.
So that's six, okay.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I don't
know. And the Joey Ryan. So there's
Joey seven. Ryan, Al Snow, which was also an awful segment.
It was.
And I'm guessing, was Zema Ion going to defend his belt?
I was going to say, there's got to be an X Division. I mean, so there's that. But again, we got the go-home show next
that
week.
That was kind of
right?
funny, though. At the end of it, like, he had a match with Doug Williams, where he gets himself disqualified.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I know I'm first in your name for the people to take on Aces and Eights, but take me off, because I'm not going to mess up this beautiful face for your company. And then he goes, because I'm not just effing pretty, I'm pretty effing dangerous.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's kind of funny.
That's been his catchphrase for a little while.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah,
but
it's okay.
Just when he said, take me off your list. No, we're not risking. He's this pretty
he's
face
good
or
looks
something.
Were, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But it was, so that was funny. I mean, it, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so I enjoyed that. But I mean, other than that, I mean, the pluses to the show, there was no Brooke Hogan.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but there was. I was hoping to see her fall down.
Madison Rayne, though. Like,
where the fuck could she be?
Yeah, I know. But the Earl thing is like done, dropped,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, too
so,
bad because I want a boner.
Yeah, but I have one. Oh, you want a boner? The other thing is with Garrett Bischoff. I mean, I'm assuming the talk was that he's going to be heavily in this Aces and Eights thing.
Yeah,
Garrett.
That's good.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
So, no, it's not. But it's the talk. Other talk they talked about they were hyping the Bound for Glory weekend and such.
Oh, yes, the Hall of Fame.
Come on.
They still haven't given any other names.
No.
You can't have a Hall of Fame ceremony with one fucking induction.
It seems like
not if you're not going to have it in the fucking ring. If you're going to have a fucking night where you charge tickets.
That's what they're doing.
For one fucking induction.
It sounds that way. I mean, we're 2 weeks away. It seems that way.
So, the Christian speech better be awesome.
Yeah, Christian's not going to be there.
What? No, you said the Christian was going to...
That was the thing, but apparently he's not now.
Oh, what?
I don't know what it is. I guess with the lawsuit again, I have no idea. So... But Christian not now tapped to do this or not going to be there, I guess, because he's had surgery and the fact that there's a lawsuit, this talent lawsuit that they're not, so they've halted that, stopped that. Now it looks like Lex Luger going to do it.
Lex Luger is also, he's a Christian, isn't he?
He is a Christian.
He is a Christian.
So is Elizabeth.
Good point. Hey, you know what, it's actually, this will work because, they already have a ramp going to the rim.
Was Daniel Benoit a Christian? Do you know? You don't, huh? You did research on the show. Yeah, they got a wheelchair ramp for Lex Luger. I think Buff Bagwell come with them.
Dynamite Kid. Anyways. That's Addy, A-D-D-I-E. We Talk Wrestling if you want to do any complaints. Don't send it to wrestling at Podomatic or whatever the hell, or wrestling and we talk, wrestling and we talk podcast. Send it to Addy at we talk wrestling. That's
Addy,
who you're sending it to.
Addy. Yes. Send the complaints. I actually have a, it's free, what do they call that? Delete button.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking lord! Anyways, that's
but that's Impact. I mean, really, there was nothing. The only thing, the other thing that I will say,
Impact is worse than Raw. Raw wasn't very good.
When Kaz caught Hernandez Nacho Libre,
that
was
funny.
And when Kurt Angle was talking to Sting about, you know, pick me to be in your group or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
All you see is, like, around the corner, you see Christopher Daniels, like, pop his head out. And
yeah,
like,
but it's, like,
the
it's like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah, he's, like, 2 feet off the
cartoon.
And then Kaz is up there. They're just...
Oh, and then they go to their locker, and he opens up his locker. He's got the Apple TV.
He got the Apple TV, yeah.
That's pretty funny. So, basically, yeah, I mean, Christopher Daniels still the most entertaining part of the show.
Yes, yeah, pretty much.
And Cass, too.
And Cass.
Yeah,
no,
pretty shitty show.
Yeah.
Like I say, worse than Ross. That's not good.
No, that's right. So, yeah. But that was Impact. I mean, do we want to get, we could talk a little bit about, well, for Quiddle, the only other quick kind of hit item, well, actually I have a couple, but quickly, Harry Boy Smith in Japan, Harry Smith,
uh-huh.
He's going by the name Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Which is better than D.H. Smith. That makes sense over there. That's how you get the most.
Oh,
money.
Yeah, that's
how you
it.
Get all over the most, right?
Yeah, and that's
make
it.
Sure everybody knows. I mean, he is this guy. It's not like Chavo and Eddie. It's. You know.
Oh, it's like it is like Chavo and Chavo. Chavo Jr. and Chavo Sr.
Oh, is he calling himself Harry Davey Boy or what?
Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Davey Boy Smith Classic? No.
Classic, yeah.
No, Davey Boy Smith.
Actually, he's wrestling in Japan, so he's actually Davey Boy Smith Classic.
ADDI at WeTalkWrestling.com. That's Addy. Oh, fuck. Anyways, but we're not talking about Kelly Kelly anymore.
No, and we won't. I mean, well, I mean, all sort of jokes aside, because we were able to get a guest on that was in a little bit of the news because...
You mean Dave Bautista, he's not coming on, remember?
What?
Like, he was supposed to come on, remember he got that email from his publicist.
Yes, yes.
He said he can't come on. What was it?
Well, he was on the elliptical, and he's too tired.
Oh, okay.
So he said he's too tired to do any interviews tonight, but they're going to reschedule it for next Thursday.
So he's
going to
be on next
week.
We're
going to
have Bautista.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just next week.
Dave Bautista is going to be on our next show.
Yeah, it's just next week. It's not, you
oh,
know.
Well,
it's,
so we'll get to, we'll talk to him after his big MMA fight and find out what's
going on. Well, I think that's the point, yeah. So we'll be able to get the exclusive
okay, cool.
After.
Cool. No,
so.
That's a little disappointing because we've been promoting it heavily for weeks.
Well,
but
no, it'll be fine. So.
Yeah.
Another man, though, in the news that we did manage to get a guest on because he interviewed him was
the
that...
The line is leaking, you're right.
Well, I mean, we told him to call after Impact, so someone was on Impact before, but Sean Daivari, I guess he was on a train, and we'll get the details from him here, but he was on a train, and there was a
I'm looking forward to that.
Guy on a train who apparently, like, went nuts.
He's always one of the most, like, eloquent...
Well, but this guy went nuts.
Loquacious guest.
Threatened to kill... everyone.
Really?
On the train, this guy. And so I guess Daivari, like, subdued him and
was this guy, like, a terrorist or something?
No, I think this guy was just, like, some whacked-out druggie or something. But, hey,
really?
We'll get the details here, but I don't know if you want to get him on the line here.
Yeah. Just pick up and press. Hey, Daivari, you're on speaker.
He just hung up.
Are you sure? I'm gonna get him on again. So I don't think they'll hit him. Daivari, what the hell are you?
He just hung up again. He's not very,
One more time. One more fucking try.
Well, this guy's just a jerk, though.
No, he's a hero. I just...
I'll be your hero.
I didn't read that. Sean, this time don't, okay, this time let me finish my question. I just want to hear your account. I understand what happened on, was that a subway, Sean?
La 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 Three times, three strikes you're out with me, I have to tell you.
Well, Dave Bautista next week.
Well, that'll be, hopefully that'll say, told you, this guy, he's a jerk. I mean, we've had him on before.
It's like his third appearance.
But, well, like his fifth there, because he had three appearances on the show right there. But, yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
but,
what a dick.
What a dink.
Yeah, and after he saves people's lives, I'd like to say he isn't, but he
is. I know. I wanted to get your thoughts on WrestleMania this coming year.
Mm-hmm.
With the talk that Taker might sit this one out. Literally. Really? Like, yeah, there's talk now because what you've got is... you've got a combination of punk, rock, which, you know, you like, and, not punk, but, CM Punk, The Rock, and John Cena,
mm-hmm.
between Royal Rumble and,
and WrestleMania. Triple H.
You got the Lesnar Triple H match, no Austin,
mm-hmm.
is apparently, so I don't know what you do with punk. Well, they're talking about Wade Barrett and Sheamus, looking like it at that point, or Randy Orton turns heel.
Mm-hmm.
And fight Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio is sort of what the working thing is. So without a spot for Taker or one of those kind of timed spots.
Well, you know what? He can show up and not have a match.
That's true, but
he
can
show up and fucking tombstone
somebody, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't. Heath Slater. But
yeah,
no, right. I was kind of, because that was kind of the constant is. And something I never even thought of was, you know, who does Taker fight? Because I really don't think that with the talk...
He's 20-0, he doesn't need another match,
this,
right?
Well, he doesn't, right. This is my thing, is you do 20-0, and that's the perfect thing.
I can't pet your dog, dude.
Hmm?
Fucking dog is shedding too bad.
I know, and it's cold.
He's all
out,
over.
So I don't understand.
Like, he's like all over me in this stuff here. What the hell?
So, no,
really?
But...
Willie, lie the fuck down.
Hey, see, of course, he's a good dog. stay the fuck there. But the thing
whatever. I'll just...
The deal is, though, with Undertaker is, you're right. I mean, to me, if he sits this one out, then he's got to sit them all out. Like, that's it.
No, it's okay.
For WrestleMania. I mean, he can come back and do an appearance here or there, but I think you just... You go
why? He's missed some before and still being able to come back. And
yeah, but not...
It doesn't matter. I mean, if he sits this one out and he comes back, it doesn't matter.
Have you seen him? He's old. I mean, look
he's
at
old.
Him. He's so old. No, really, but that's the thing. When he missed some before, it was 1994.
Yeah.
You know, it's not 2014, right? Or 2013 next year. So,
yeah.
I mean, here we are. That's 20 years later. It's, as I said...
The thing is, I think you got to maximize it. I think you got to say...
I do, too.
I think you got to say, fuck it, this is it. His last match.
I agree. I don't do that on a WrestleMania, though, because I think if you promote Undertaker's last match, you could do that on the Hell in the Cell, or you could do that, you know, or
Extreme Rules!
Well, something like that, though, to get, you know... If you're going to get a pop-a-bye... From
yeah.
something, it's going to be for this is the last time. And, I mean, but that's if what's Michelle McCool. But the thing is if you have the other part is what I'm saying. You do that to pop a number. How many people
when you pop something? That's Molly Holly.
Right. Yes. Hi, man. But how many people will actually buy that it's the Undertaker's
Sean Jabari is calling me back. Should
no,
I answer?
Don't answer.
Sure.
Just leave him. Just
no,
let him be.
Sean, what the hell? What the hell are you doing?
Who?
Sean! Damari, I didn't need to say you're on speakerphone. Fuck. This time, say it. Just get it. Say it and get the fuck off.
I don't think he's there.
He's there. He just called me.
No, he's not.
I just waiting for him to do it. Come on, do it, Sean! Fucking do it!
He's not gonna do it.
Alright, fuck off.
But I think that... How many people would buy that it is The Undertaker's last match? I mean, how many people buy that it is, like, the last match of a thing? I mean, Shawn Michaels not wrestling since his retirement helps. But how many people would actually buy, you know, a wrestling retirement, so to speak, right? To be
I
able
think
to
with Taker, you would buy it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think there's a sense that Taker has never really bullshitted us too much, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And I also think the other thing is people look at him and go, fuck, it's time for him to retire. I can picture him retiring.
Mm-hmm.
He's not around much anymore, so if it is his last one, it's his last one.
Yeah.
I think it's the situation makes it more... Fucking Sean Daivari is... Nah.
But,
I'm not going to answer.
Don't answer. But I think that
I know what
I agree
say.
With you to maximize.
What is it he's going
to
say if I did answer?
Well, no, he's a physicist, I think.
Oh.
So he would probably just fill our minds with, you know, bullshit. But, no, I think that that's how I would do it. I would maximize Taker on a B show, and then he'd go into the Hall of Fame the next year, right? So that would be it for me. But inducted by, I mean, I guess you have Kane there, but I would do Paul Bearer or vice versa. I mean, Undertaker could be there.
I didn't make Foley.
Yeah, that could be, but I think Taker would get to choose.
Triple H, Taker
would get to choose, and he wouldn't choose Mick Foley, right? Mick Foley might choose The Undertaker, but Taker would not choose Foley.
And you could do that. I mean, if Mick Foley's the Hall of Fame dude this year, the headliner,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Undertaker, that's how you have his appearance.
Well, I think, to me, you put Paul Bearer in, and you have Undertaker do it that way. But I think the manager that goes in this year because they're on good terms is Paul Heyman.
Okay.
Because they're in New York, and it's just, you know.
Okay.
It's in again.
I wouldn't put Paul Heyman in, but you know.
I would. I'd put Paul Heyman in as the manager. I'd put Sable in as the chick, and you know, as I said,
Paul Heyman also covers the territory dude, the whatever, the Booker.
Yeah,
promoter guy,
the promoter guy, but they haven't even really done the promoter thing. And
what do you know about fucking Hall of Fames?
I know lots
about
the Hall of Fames.
I'm going to make
everything all right.
Let me tell you, the evidence is that yesterday you put up a new blog on Nexus, Where Are They Now?
Yes.
Thank God you did. Because earlier in the week you had put up the shittiest blog you'd ever written, a horrible blog, your votes for who should go...
In the Wrestling Observer.
And you called it, you said, because you talked about your love for Hall of Fames and how much you talk about the WWE Hall of Fame, and then you're like, there's at least one other Hall of Fame, which is at least as it, or it seems to be as
well, I was just saying.
It doesn't have this. And I'm like, well, yeah, there's the fucking Cauliflower Alley, and there's all these other ones that are way more prestigious than WWE.
They're not way more prestigious.
Yeah, WWE is like the fourth or fifth most prestigious wrestling Hall of Fame.
It's not, actually.
It is.
No, because you're mixing the definition of prestige up.
Yeah, it is. It's
you're talking about...
It's a fucking joke most of the time.
You're talking about...
But either way...
Part of prestige is...
Either way, it doesn't matter.
Is visibility.
So what the fuck is the Waterford, Iowa Hall of Fame or whatever. TNA has more prestige at this moment.
Yes.
With Sting being inducted.
Right.
In fucking
okay, well, now you're just ruining your credibility.
But anyways, so you're talking about ruining your credibility. The Observer Hall of Fame.
The Wrestling Observer
Hall of Fame. Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, which is legit. It's run like the Baseball Hall of Fame.
It's too legit to quit.
Fucking right. It's like journalists.
Like
and it's
journalists.
Votes, and no more than 10 wrestlers can go in. Unlimited amount of announcers.
Well, more than
10
wrestlers can go in. You can't vote for more than 10.
You can't
wrestlers.
Vote for more. But 60% have to vote for a guy to get in.
Yeah, so it's following the same sort of line as the Major League Baseball Hall
yeah,
of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So your votes are people like...
The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson.
Who I would put in, but unfortunately they'd be the fourth tag team on the list I put in. I put the Sharp Brothers in ahead of them. I put in the Assassins ahead of them. I put in the Ole and Arn.
The only reason
Ole
I might
and,
put...
Ole and...
Dean Anderson, Gene Anderson.
Gene Anderson in ahead of them.
The only reason that I would put the Sharp Brothers in is because I am a big fan of Iron Mike.
He wasn't one of the... Fuck. Anyway, so it should be the Assassins should be the number one team, then the Sharp Brothers, then the Andersons, and then the Rock and Roll. So I mean, there's one. You also have people like you had Jesse Ventura, who should John Cena should be in there. Absolutely,
Jesse Ventura, as a non-wrestler,
really should be. He really should be in because not only is he the most influential commentator of his generation, I mean he is as far as influencing what. Heel commentators are going to be like in many ways. He redefined the genre. He's very important that way. Plus, obviously, he's achieved a lot of fame outside of wrestling. And his fame should be counting in there, especially, governor. I mean, Christ sakes. And who knows? He might still run for president.
He won't.
He might.
No, he's going to run for president. And what he's going to do is he's going to run for president. John Morrison's going to star in a movie about it. And there's going to be a candid highlight of Kurt Angle's first MMA.
He will not run
for president.
Here's how it works.
Fuck. You write this down. Write this down. When he runs for president, just write these four letters down, okay?
No.
Here.
No.
M-A-R-K. He's going
to
run for president.
Listen to me.
He might
run for president if...
Of what?
If there is enough people as independents who register to get him on the other debates and to be in all 50 states. He won't just run just for his ego or just for...
He may run for president of the WWF.
Okay, whatever. The point being that's what it would take for him to run.
His slogan is down with the dictator.
That is what it would take, though, for him to run is for people...
Yeah, which is why he's not going to.
I say he may. He probably won't.
No, he never
will.
It's
very unlikely.
No,
it's extremely unlikely. I wouldn't say it's impossible, because it was impossible that he was going to win the governorship. Either. It's extremely unlikely.
Yes, it's impossible that he will ever be on a ballot. Jesse Ventura will never be on a United States of America presidential ballot.
It's extremely unlikely.
Never.
Either way, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Ever.
Now let's look at your other fucking people.
Yes, I'm going to say everything's all right.
Sergeant Slaughter,
Captain Lou Albano.
Captain Lou Albano? Gorilla Monsoon.
Yes, Gorilla Monsoon.
Fucking Edge. Edge is not good enough to be in the Observer Hall of Fame. Gorilla Monsoon is definitely not good enough.
Gorilla Monsoon's a non-wrestler.
Doesn't matter. He's a shitty announcer.
No, I know. Well, the thing is you're talking about the, the Sharp Brothers, right?
Yes.
The Sharp Brothers. The main reason that I agree with you of the Sharp Brothers, okay, the main reason, because of the defining aspect that they had in wrestling, not in the ring, but behind the scenes in wrestling, right? To be able to say when in Japan is mostly where the Sharp Brothers come in. And when you go, they've got it's not Budokan, it's the Tokyo Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little different because they always were kind of like WCW where they had that long upstage ramp. They didn't have the down ramp, but
they're using for Lex Luger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's no inclines. But they've got the ramp, and right on the other side of the curtain for the ramp is actually called the Sharp Brothers position.
Yeah.
Yeah. That to me is the main reason. So that's a good point.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the Sharp Brothers should be in way ahead of Gorilla Monsoon.
It's called the Gorilla position.
Who gives a fuck?
I do. That's why I voted.
Stood there, not because he did anything.
Because he stood there,
and it's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
It doesn't fucking matter. You fucking...
Okay, well, write your blog. Where's your blog? Who are you putting in? Write it.
Well, let me tell you, those guys would be in... I talked about those tag teams. Blue Demon.
What's a Blue Demon? See, that's it. I didn't go with, the big daddies of the Blue Demon, because I never saw any of that bullshit.
No, you didn't. That's the thing, though. I mean, it's a
I never saw any of it.
WWE. It's not the WWE Hall of Fame. You're putting in a lot of people that aren't deserving of the Observer Hall of Fame, confusing it with the WWE Hall of Fame. They're different fucking things.
Gorilla Monsoon's already in the WWE Hall of Fame. So that would just be stupid, bro. As is Sergeant Slaughter. As is Lou Albano. I think John Cena's already in, actually.
Kenzo Sasaki.
He already
would be a good, guy.
Kenzo
Big
Sasaki.
Daddy has an
Kenzo
argument.
Sasaki?
Yeah.
The guy that teamed with Rene Dupree?
Oh, did I get the name wrong?
I have no idea. Probably, yeah. So, no, good vote.
No, that's Great Suzuki, wasn't it?
Kenzo Suzuki?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, no, you're good. You're helping your credibility here.
I can't.
You know who else should go in was Mrs. Hayato.
Oh, yeah. She probably should.
See? Yeah.
Yeah.
I went in her.
Yeah. Did you? One Night in China?
Domo Arigato.
Mr. No Condos. Either way, the point is that it's a shitty, shitty list.
I put
Edge
in my reasons.
Edge is not a Hall of Famer. Sergeant Slaughter is not a Hall of Famer. Lou Albano is not a Hall of Famer. Not in the Observer. What is your argument again for Edge being in?
I like Edge.
Pretty much, that's it.
Yeah. But again, that's why it's my ballot. It's because...
That's why you have just cost us any chance for us ever to be invited in. To vote, because he's going to go, look what these fucking people do. They don't take this seriously. They don't study this or look at this or see who's supposed to go in. He just fucking throws in who he likes. This guy doesn't deserve to go in, but he likes him, so he'll vote for him. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's actually how these things usually work.
No.
Yeah. No. That's, again, so...
Edge does not... Make an argument for Edge. You give your reasons.
I did give my reasons. Edge is a multiple-time champion. Edge carried...
Drew how much?
Edge carried SmackDown.
What did he draw?
He drew a picture of Vicky that one time.
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah, he did draw that picture of Vicky. That's true.
So what is the criteria again?
Fame, drawing, or extreme in-ring ability.
The in-ring ability. And I just, I think...
No, he's not even the best worker in the tag team.
Would you shut up? For 2K, you're going to ask me a fucking question. What do you think? And I go, that, and you go, no, that fucking thing doesn't see. I wrote it, you can read it. It's at wetalkwrestling.com, and you can hit an email if you agree. That's who it is. Your blog is wonderful. on what was the topic again? That work that you put onto the website? Is there, there's how many there?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you
about?
Doing? Let me go on the WeTalkWrestling.
Your Nexus blog was good.
Yeah, of course it was. They're all great. Wonderfully
either
talented
way.
Person. Anyway, I would vote for Edge. I would vote for Sergeant Slaughter. I would vote for Jesse Ventura, John Cena, the Rock and Roll Express, Gorilla Monsoon, and Lou Albano. Those were my picks for the Hall of Fame. When I look, and again, I mean, I may when I was looking at some of them, some of those Mexicans, I thought, I heard of them. I'm like, yeah, I heard of them. I almost put L.A. Park on the list there, because again, I've seen La Parca, mm-hmm. and in WCW, I've never seen him wrestle in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not true. I think I actually have seen him when I was in the Dominican Republic. I think they had a AAA show in there, because I'm pretty sure it was Macias. L.A. Park might have been in this, and I want to say Vampiro.
Vampiro's on the list. He's Vampiro's probably equivalent of Edge, and I don't see Vampiro as being a Hall of Famer. He's about the same, though. About the same level.
Well, I was just saying, I almost put L.A. Park in there just because of that, and
this is a Hall of Fame. All I'm saying is, it's not that these people aren't deserving to be in the WWE Hall of Fame or have recognition. It's that Rey Mysterio is
senior?
Borderline. No, junior.
Oh, junior.
Borderline Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
I don't think so. I think he's a slam dunk Rey Mysterio.
No,
yeah.
He didn't get in.
No, in my opinion, though.
Okay, in your opinion, but that's the exact point, is that this is really tough to get into.
Yeah.
These guys are just...
You're misconstruing there's a difference between...
You don't have enough knowledge to make the vote.
There's a difference between who I think will get in and who I would vote for. And that's what it was.
Who you
my
vote,
vote
should
for.
Get in. And
no, my vote,
in.
These are who my, these are my
Jesse's
votes.
Good.
I don't even think the Rock and Roll,
good.
Honestly, I don't think the Rock and Roll Express will even get in.
No,
I don't think Lou Albano will get in.
And wasn't
Moolah? I put Fabulous Moolah in there as well.
And she shouldn't be.
I don't think that Fabulous Moolah may get in. I don't know that Edge,
she
I don't
won't.
Think Edge will get in.
She
but
won't
I said,
get in.
These are the people that I would vote for. And that's it. And you can read it, and you can counter with the wonderful blog of your own if you got off your fat ass and wrote once in a while. But
I got one coming out Saturday. Paul Heyman. It's Paul Heyman genius.
Yes.
Or just clever.
That's right. And then you can do your WrestleMania recap blog, right?
Well,
that'll be the next one.
No. That's not my next one.
Oh, WrestleMania 30.
Those are going to be coming closer to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania 30, I meant. Recap.
Recap?
Yeah, the post-show vlog.
Yeah, okay.
But,
all right, anyways, we're going to talk about...
wrestling.
Wade Barrett.
Yes, we are.
I did get an email from this is Rowdy Ricky.
Piper? I'd put him in Hall of Fame, too.
And he deserves to go in.
Yeah.
He's a slam dunk. Rowdy Ricky asked about we had
smashed future Hall of Famer.
You
Lou
asked
Albano
me who I put the rocket to, and I said Wade Barrett. He says, "How would you do that with Wade Barrett, or what would you even do right now? Because as far as I can tell, he came back with these vignettes, but they seem to have no plan for him. He's just waiting. He's just waiting
what would
in
you,
the water.
What would what you do right now with Wade Barrett?" And that pumps on to our good friend Stephen Ajami's question they had under my Nexus
really like
blog
him.
Was that.
I mean, Ajami.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I hope
good
you like Ajami too.
I'm not. Not
but
fond.
He asked, "Do you ever think there'll be a time where Wade Barrett will surpass Daniel Bryan in terms of overall, because it was sort of convincing.
It
was
two things
Daniel
to
Bryan
tie
anyway.
In,
but
not,
so what would you
in with your Nexus, your nice Nexus blog?
What would you do with Wade Barrett right now?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that the plan is for him against Sheamus, because he's not really doing anything right now except for saying basically my services are open for whoever's bidding. I want to be in the world title picture, but he's not getting any chances.
Right.
And this is where we kind of run into a big problem within WWE right now is he is a mid-carder who they want to put into the main event.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, you got to beat upper mid-carders, and that's where they're sorely lacking. They have a few main eventers, a lot of lower mid-card and mid-card guys. They don't have those guys. Like in the day when they were preparing somebody for Hulk Hogan, he would beat an upper mid-carder.
Jake the Snake, or Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or something like that, right?
Yeah. To get ready. Because, he's better than these guys. That means he might be as good as Hogan. That's the psychology behind it. And that guy's missing. Randy Orton's the closest. But I think Randy Orton being beat so much lately, I'm not even sure a win over him means so much. I'm not really sure who you put. I think Christian would be a good one, because he would make Wade look like $1 million and is a former world champion. But he's probably not high enough in the card. So that's where I look at him and I say, yeah, I'd strap the rocket to him. But if I'm going to build him up to get to the point where people think, without beating Sheamus, to get to the point where people think he's at Sheamus' level, there's not really anybody out there for him to take on. So it's really a tough, I think it's really tough. And this is, like I say, this is how part of what they're, how they booked for a long time, has fucked things up.
Yeah. The question, what would you do with Wade Barrett?
And I said, I don't know. Because
okay,
of that,
well, is
exact
that what
reason.
You're saying? So you're saying
what
you
I'm,
don't
I'm
know.
I'm saying is I don't know because I don't see the guy he could beat.
Wow.
I think Rey Mysterio again would be the closest, but if he's off with
that's insight.
Yeah, exactly. Rey Mysterio, but he's off with Sin Cara, Christian, Randy Orton. Randy Orton doesn't mean much. Christian would I think be good, but he's hurt, and so I just don't see how you get him to that next level without having him beat.
Well, as you said, Christian is hurt. You probably, as I said, I would probably go with. The difference with, again, with Randy Orton is that, I mean, that was Frieder fired. That was even last year at the TLC was Orton and Wade Barrett was the match. I want to say they had, like, a chairs match or something.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Had a short program. So, I mean, that's been done.
Yeah, it's not memorable, though.
The Randy Orton. I know, but so why, then, okay,
yeah.
that's even worse, then.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's go back to something that wasn't memorable, right?
That's true, yeah.
So, I think, and this year I also sort of qualify in terms of the X Factor. I don't know that you need to do this, but I think that the WWF does do this in that, with Rock beating Punk at the Royal Rumble, Cena wins the Royal Rumble and you've created that match. I don't think you need that to get to Cena and Rock. I don't think you need Cena to win the Royal Rumble to get there. I could throw Wade Barrett in the Rumble to get that world title shot against Sheamus.
To make him seem as that level.
Well, that gives you that ability to kind of have him. Again, you're not going to have Christian probably until the Royal Rumble at this point, right? If he's hurt, and now here we are October, it's not like he's going to be ready by December. And then, so...
Well, there's not a lot of upper mid-carders, like I say, even worse when it's upper mid-carder baby faces.
Well, precisely. You could, again, everybody's tied up.
Yeah.
And that's why I put Wade Barrett as the Royal Rumble winner as
I like that. That's a good
the...
idea.
Just the only thing to kind of catapult him, because you're right, you don't have that feud. I mean, you have Kane, but he's tied up with Daniel Bryan, right? Like you said, you've got Rey Mysterio, who's got the thing with Sin Cara. You know, you've got Christian, who's hurt. You've got Orton, been there, done that, doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anybody else on that side. Alberto Del Rio is a heel, right? I mean, so...
And even then, I don't think beating Alberto Del Rio really makes you seem like you're ready for a world title match.
No, you're right, you're right.
It's
but
the same thing with the Dolph Ziggler, because they've lost a billion times, right?
Yeah.
So it's where they're really...
I mean,
really
you got Miz
missing.
Again, I mean, right?
That guy who... Because they don't have that guy who... Like, it used to be... There was a day where...
What about Cassius Ohno?
What about him?
He could fight Cassius Ohno. The Battle of the Knockout Forearms.
Okay, then. Well, you can fight Tito Santana.
Arriba! Well, Lex Luger had the Knockout Forearm, right?
That's true. It's another one.
William Regal, the Power of the Punch.
Power of the Punch. But, I mean, like, at the time, Tito Santana was another guy who was upper mid-card from IC champion when it meant something. So, again, he was another guy. You, when he beat him, it meant you were ready for a world title match.
And
they, those are the guys they're lacking.
That's the only other thing I could think of doing. I mean, again, the Rumble, I mean, we say it's far off, but January will be here before we know it because we're in October.
Yeah.
And really, so that's the thing. If even we were, if we were talking about this in July and everything's coming back, I would have given Barrett the Intercontinental title, given him that run with the, you know, the undefeated kind of build-up.
But, I mean, really, are the guys? Who has the
What about the Ryback?
Yeah, actually, he's somebody I would have him beat, because I don't see much in Ryback.
Yeah.
But it's probably not the time to do that. Who are the champions again? Who has the U.S. title? It's
Antonio.
And who has the other one?
Miz.
So there's nobody to beat there either?
No. That's what I mean, but I would have substituted Barrett for Miz against that Christian in that time period if I'd been able to, you know, if Barrett was back there. But the other thing you could, well, no, I mean,
you know,
here's another guy. The Wade Barrett is another guy that, you know, even a couple years ago, unfortunately, if you could turn back the hands of time, would have benefited from a Mick Foley interaction time, right?
So Mick Foley's, again, where what's the name of the guy that they've been looking to debut because they know it's the best guy they have on the roster is not wrestling who they have.
Well, I don't know that Dean Ambrose has been, but that's, I mean, there's been months and months since we've heard about him.
Yeah, exactly. This is the best guy they have on the roster they aren't using, and they haven't.
He's not on NXT.
No, but the plan was to do something with Foley to give him a really great introduction.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. If Foley has one last thing left in him to make a guy like he made Edge, and he could do it with Barrett, that'd be great. I think I do like the idea of Barrett winning that Royal Rumble. You know what? He has to come in. He can't come in like number 27 and win it. He has to come in like number
five
and win
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he has to throw out like between 6 and 10 people.
Yeah.
Like it has to be a dominant. Like no question, this guy's on a roll type deal.
Yeah. So no, that's fine. I mean, it's
because other than that, I just don't see any way to do it.
No, there really isn't.
Not
I mean,
right now.
No. And that's
and this is something that when they're looking how they have to rebuild their company.
Actually, you know,
they're looking where they need to fix things. Part of it needs to be they need to make those secondary titles mean something, so that those guys mean something.
Well,
so when you need to build a main event.
And that's wrestling. I mean, right now nothing means anything, right?
No,
I mean
that's
kind of it. And
they got to build up those upper mid card guys, though. They got to have a strong, you know, contention of them.
And the other.
You can't just have a guy like Tenzan give up on him
early. Exactly.
Or you can't have a guy like...
you should have given up on Tenzan. But
yeah,
still.
Well, you should have given up on the gimmick. I don't know if you should have given up on him, but the gimmick for sure.
Well, you still could.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, it's going to take a mask now.
Yeah, yeah.
But
or just to completely go away from the Japanese gimmick. And
no, because then he's going to be Albert still.
That's
I mean, that guy looks like how he looks. And, I mean, if you want to call him Albert, then call her A-Train again.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think you could
fine.
Go with that. But I was just going to say that...
Wade Barrett, though, could go with Big Show if Big Show turned.
It would help.
But
it
he's a heel,
though.
I mean, that would be just... That's the only other guy I could think of,
the only other guy I could think
of.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And, again...
Jericho's gone, right?
Jericho's gone. And I don't even know if beating Jericho means much. I just don't really feel like...
No, but it's something. And it means more than beating Orton. It means, you know what I mean? It means as much as something's going to mean, right?
Yeah.
So,
what is it that Ajami wants, or Adam Lee, either one, wanted to ask?
Well, he was just asking about, do you see a time where Wade Barrett will usurp or overtake Daniel Bryan in terms of being, I don't want to say popular, but in terms of star power?
What's the comparison? Oh, this is off your Nexus.
I would say
blog,
off
right?
the Nexus blog because
so
I had given
Daniel Bryan
I gave Daniel Bryan the A plus in terms of what's happened there. I think I give Wade Barrett a B, and those are the two. And then the Ryback got a B minus because of his position, right? So I mean, so that's what he's asking: is there would be ever a time where Barrett would be higher than Daniel Bryan? And I don't. I said, you know, I said I you know if they push it, if they do it right, I could say I think he's got all the tools, Wade Barrett. I said, but Daniel Bryan is just so fucking entertaining.
Yeah.
That I and if they keep him in that,
I think Wade Barrett's
going
to end up being a much bigger star than Daniel Bryan. I don't think. Actually, I wouldn't guarantee it, and I wouldn't say much bigger, but I do think he's going to surpass him. And
I see Wade Barrett, though, getting more opportunities than Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's
Bryan.
Exactly it.
And, but
Wade Barrett's everything they look. What they see about Daniel Bryan right now is where they want him and see him being. that's an upper mid-card kind of comedy guy who's entertaining and over with the crowd.
Yes.
He's better than a Santino Marella, but he is not a world champion.
Yeah, Owen Hart.
Yeah, that's a perfect gold dust in the day, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, really good place to put them. That's where this is Daniel Bryan's where they want him to be. He will get above this again, mm-hmm. and he'll get right back to this.
But anytime Daniel Bryan
has a chance to be in that Randy Orton
mm-hmm.
category for a long time.
Right. And you look at...
He won't get pushed back down if he gets
level. Just look, and your prime example in terms of that is anytime Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett have had a series of matches, Wade Barrett has come out on top.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Not maybe every match, but in terms of the series, in terms of
absolutely.
If they had interact, yeah, Wade Barrett comes out on top, right?
Yep.
So
yeah.
every time.
I really do think that he's probably going to end up big. I mean, Daniel Bryan again is extremely charismatic,
mm-hmm.
and people like him. But there's a difference between a guy people and like I said, I think people believe in him because his offense is so good. You know, it's so varied. But that said, I think at the end of the day,
I just think that Daniel Bryan has that. You know, that it factor. It's not that I don't see it in Wade Barrett, I see it in a different way. But it's, when I look at it, like, if someone's going to ask me personally, who am I going to like better, I'm going to like Daniel Bryan better.
I agree with you.
And it's not even because of his ring work. It's again, the character of Daniel Bryan will probably
entertain
me more. And
again, that said, how many people on the roster right now that are nowhere near the main event? Nowhere
right.
near even upper mid-card. Do you look at it and you go, you would like more than Ryback?
Well, than Ryback, I mean,
quite a few, though.
No, yeah. I don't know about quite a few. I don't mind the Ryback at this point. I don't say, he's growing on me in terms of
my
his,
point
his,
being,
his
though,
his that
who they see to push is not the same person you see to push.
Not always.
Not
no.
always.
Not always,
no.
no. I agree with them more than you do.
Yeah, you do agree with them more than I do.
Because you have that kind of internet Markish thing with you in
yeah.
terms of the
But I look at a guy like Tyson Kidd and I think he's fucking good and they should use him.
Yeah. And I like him in his spot right now as a tag team with Justin Gabriel for now.
I like that too, but I mean I think he's good or
I don't see him any higher right now. I think if Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel want to do their thing and it's good.
I don't think there's much between I look at Tyson Kidd and Daniel Bryan. I think there's very little between them. I think Daniel Bryan's a little better, but not a lot better. And I think a lot of this opportunity.
Well, there was, yes, there's opportunity and name recognition and based off of what he did on the independent. But, again, Daniel Bryan is you know, when you talk about not a lot, I've seen a lot more in Daniel Bryan than I see in Tyson Kidd.
I don't see a lot more. So that's the thing.
I've seen a lot more,
oh,
is what I'm telling you. The yes, and the skits and the AJ and the anger management and all that entertaining stuff that Daniel Bryan has done, I haven't seen Tyson Kidd do any entertaining promos.
That's true, I'll say that, but you know what
else? Not to say he can't.
No, it's not to say
but
he
I haven't seen
up.
It.
But most of that entertaining stuff with Daniel Bryan, I could have done without them ever doing with him. Like the anger management skits.
But that's why he's. I mean, the yes.
This
is why
where they see him. This is where Wade Barrett ultimately will probably get a long run. And when he gets a long run, they'll treat him like he's a champion. Whereas Daniel Bryan got a long run, fairly long run, but they treated him like he was lucky. And that's always gonna how it's gonna be at the end.
Possibly, yeah. But again, I think that the. When Daniel Bryan goes to the bank, he's just fine with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You
no
know?
Problem.
And that's the whole point. Is
no
is
problem. He wanted to be a superstar in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And he never thought he'd get to the WWE. He came to the WWE and he's had great success. He's really really happy with it. Good for him. No, he overcame everything that the boring shit and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff and the way they viewed him and the way they viewed the internet and. The vegetarian and the virgin and all the bullshit.
Doesn't own a TV.
Yeah, he overcame all that. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, he's got the talent. And the one thing that on the independent that he was done was like, you know, the cattle mutilation and the best in the world and,
yeah.
and that, you know, that pure wrestling technician. And he's become the exact opposite in WWE
yeah.
and is blowing it out of the water.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is that Tyson Kidd
very,
maybe.
Very.
Tyson Kidd. Kid may or may not be capable of that.
Yeah.
I don't think that we'll ever know.
We'll ever know.
Or if we do know, again, he's going to have to go the route for him. Right now, I think, you know, you go in the tag team route. You go in, you know, like, it different times, different eras, but it works for guys sometimes.
It does. And Daniel Bryan was right place at the right time, but when he was, he made the most of it. A lot of people are right place at the right time and don't make the most of it, and a lot of more people never the right place at the right time.
Well, and I mean, opportunity and luck has, I don't say luck, but I mean, like, yeah, we said right place, right time, but I mean, he had he had the benefit of a few different things in terms of right place, right time. I mean, he got signed, he come up, you know, in NXT, right? The concept of NXT, and he was Miz's deal, right?
Heath Slater's very entertaining. He's funny. He's shown that he can have that, and he's also a good worker. But he doesn't have what Daniel Bryan has. I don't see that. Right now, he's in the right place.
He's not as entertaining. He's got a bit of a personality, but he's not nearly as entertaining as Daniel Bryan. And you're right. He doesn't have that sort of undefinable fact, like, say the it factor, right?
Yeah.
Cole
said at one time the best when Daniel Bryan was coming out and doing his no chance and the crowd was going, yep, they're going just fucking crazy, and he said, this guy's energy is infectious. And that's what Daniel Bryan has found.
Yeah.
His energy is infectious.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, yeah. And again, you look at a guy like a William Regal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could see that he's taken a lot from Regal, right? And that. So, but yeah,
But yeah, but that's a good example. I mean, they see, I don't know, at the end of the day, they see Daniel Bryan where Chris Jericho was in, say, 2002. They see him right there. And they see Wade Barrett closer to where Randy Orton is. And
the reason why
the career was so great for Jericho was how he redefined himself. If he had continued to be that character, I don't think we'd be sitting there saying he's had a much better career than Randy Orton. But we are, because he came back and was able to redefine himself and do something new and did it great. And that's the thing. And that's kind of what, like I say, at the end of the day, I think Wade Barrett probably, I think, is still likely to, because I think they're likely to get behind him. And ultimately, if they don't really ever believe in you or don't really get behind you, it's going to be really tough. Christian's another good
example. Who's really behind him is Pat Patterson.
Christian is another good example.
Christian is a guy that, I don't even think Christian will get to the level of Daniel Bryan. Christian was that kind of right place, right time. And I think that's where, again, Daniel Bryan, when you talk about the NXT concept coming out, he was a tremendous catalyst for that, because Miz was his mentor, so it was like, is the trainee going to teach the trainer how to do stuff? And then you move on to his next real opportunity come after Punk cut that promo, and then he won the Money in the Bank, and I think that's largely due to the fact that Punk cut that promo.
That's right. But the other thing is, the Edge and Christian tag team, I don't look at Edge and think he's a much better talker than Christian. He's definitely not a better worker. He has a better look. He's a little more charisma, but not a lot more.
He's got a lot more charisma. Edge has a lot more charisma than
he's a little
Christian.
Bit. I see him seeing slightly better, but I don't see him being much better than Christian. But I see them seeing much more in him and giving him more opportunity. And that's why he became the bigger star, ultimately. And that's what I see between, like, a Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan. I think they're both excellent. I'm not even sure that Wade Barrett is better, but I just think because they see it, that's where he's.
I don't think that Wade Barrett is better. I don't think that he's, like, a huge.
They're very different, though, so it's very hard.
They are different, but I don't think that he's. I see myself being more entertained by Daniel Bryan on a consistent basis than I would with Wade Barrett. Not that I'm saying I hate Wade Barrett. Like, Wade Barrett is not.
I've seen a lot of moments where
Wade Barrett is not Jinder Mahal.
No, he's seen a lot of moments where he looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, Wade Barrett is not fucking Drew McIntyre.
Who's he fucking then?
Who?
He's not fucking Drew McIntyre, you said. Because that can get you de-pushed.
That will get you. Well, no, you know what? That's not necessarily the case.
Or de-pulled.
Yeah. If you bring your knee pads.
And your steroids.
fuck. Okay, we're OUT on this episode.
I think that's gonna be it. So
time to go home, go to sleep, so I can go to work.
Oh yeah, yeah, you gotta do that. So, all right, well that's gonna do. We talked about my email to send all my well wishes to Addie Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com. It's Mo, M-O, at WeTalkPodcast.com. We're at WeTalkWrestling on the Twitter. We're on Facebook. Just look for WeTalkWrestling on Facebook. WeTalkWrestling.com. Send your accolades to the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame blog that I did, and send your suggestions if you have some. You can comment underneath as well. We're on Stitcher and iTunes, so get on there. You know, like us. On there, subscribe that way through, leave some feedback, some positive feedback, as it were. They found it, they like that. So that would be excellent, and I think that's going to do it. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.